much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Start singing. Come on, sing that song I like so much.
I don't feel like singing, Mom.
Just sing.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'm Ashley Costa.
And I'm Buzz.
When I first met Ashley, I thought, this is a really cute babe. This is going to be a real treat.
What a creep fest that guy was.
By joining Be the Match Marrow Registry, you're giving thousands of people with life-threatening disease. Come on, that's hard to say, right? That's not just me.
No, I know.
Oh, you're humoring me.
You're crippled by mental illness. Your compulsions have estranged you from your own feelings.
Okay, guys, you know what I would love? I'd love if anybody just said something positive about, oh, I don't know, anything.
And now.
I'm sorry, I'm not a professional model. And screaming, make your face better, doesn't help.
Our feature presentation.
If it did, I would have tried it years ago. Hey, party people, it's Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, and the lines are open for your telephone calls for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067.
I'm not even to get out of bed, sickness, nothing being.
Kevin, you sound bad. What's going on?
I am not good with much healthness.
Yeah, there's something going around. Everyone I know has been sick at least part of this year. I'll tell you that. It's hard. It's been getting hard to escape. I certainly did my time in pneumonia hell. I'll
tell
you that. So,
how you feeling now?
You know what? I'm never inviting anyone to my house to visit again. I do have that.
Well, don't invite
douchebags. Didn't Lightning come to your house?
That's what I mean. Don't invite douchebags.
Lightning's fine. Lightning, for folks who don't know, used to work on the radio show, and now he runs KevinAndBean.com. But he... He was a great guest. No complaints about Lightning. It's just being the host is a lot of work, no matter who's coming to visit, good or bad.
Just, oh, God. Because you have to interact with humans?
Yeah, you got to talk to people.
Ralph, and they don't go away. They stay.
Let's face it, Ralph. When you have people who come from out of town, they go, oh, I want to go to Disneyland. Oh, I want to go to Hollywood. They want to go all the places you've been 80 million times.
And I say, and let's have fun.
And you have to go. Right.
We're friends. We're staying at my house. Let's have a good time.
Right. But, you know, you get that,
that's kind of why you invite him, Bean. You know,
well, do no, stuff it's kind together. Of it's kind of why you you do those things, because you want them to have a great experience in your city, and you want them to see the things that they want to see. You're right. That's why they came. It's not why, you know, it's not what I look forward to. That's for sure.
Well, what would you like them to say? I just want to sit in your house and look at the internet like you do for
yes,
a week.
That would be perfect. Yes. That would be that's a dream. That's actually a dream visitor if they could be in another room. I don't want them in the same room as me.
Wow.
But if they could say, I'm going to go upstairs and just get online, I'll see you in the morning. Now you got yourself a weekend visitor. That's awesome.
Horrible.
So Lightning was here, and it was go, go, go. And I feel like I was a good host until now when I'm trashing his visit. But he will join us later on today to talk about the experience, because many have asked, what's it like to get inside the compound, you know, to get the code to cross the moat?
Mm-hmm.
What's that like? What's on the other side?
I want to ask him why. Just that question.
Why he visited me?
Yes. Of all the places you have an option of going to, that choice fascinates me for anyone to make.
I think he was just looking for, clear your head, get out of town, do see something different. That's
We'll talk about this with Lightning, but why Lightning, out of all people, why he would choose Seattle area? I mean, he hates baseball, he hates art, he hates culture.
Was there a motocross expo up there or something this weekend?
No.
Anybody driving any sort of motor vehicle over any kind of dirt mound? This weekend?
There was none of that going on, actually.
There was no, Isle of Mons motorcycle race through the streets of San Francisco? Of Seattle?
No. No. Huh? It's just regular regular weekend. How about you guys? How was everybody's weekend? Lisa, I heard you had Mother's Day plans.
I did. Had great Mother's Day with my mom.
Mom survived?
Yeah, she mom lived is the still alive.
Really?
It's shocking, I know.
It's amazing what modern medicine can do, really. How you can keep them hanging
on like
that. Well,
she didn't eat or anything. We just propped her up at the table.
No,
you know,
she
and pretended
move, though,
to feed
those,
her.
Give her a fresh
IV.
Right, exactly.
Out, right?
No, not really.
What did she say about her visit to the Kevin and Bean Show last week?
She had a great time. She thought it was so much fun. You know, I kept saying, Mom, you don't have to do this. You don't have to. She's like, how many moms get to get it on the radio? Whoever wants to talk to me.
Ooh, those fellas are a hoot.
She thought it was really fun. And she didn't think you guys were as bad as she thought you would be.
So can we bang her now?
Oh, come on now.
What?
That's the part she doesn't
what
hear.
What you've done with that.
Doesn't need to hear that. There was no, of course there was no way we were going to be rude to your mother. I mean, we have, anyone's mom comes on, we're going to be on our best behavior.
Yes, and I appreciate that. And she had a great time.
I just can't. But this is the last time we'll ever get to talk to her, though, right? Because
she's on her last leg. Before,
yeah, she's going to be right. Did she enjoy the flowers?
She did. She loved the flowers and the chocolates. It was just a great. And we had a gift for her. We brought her the movie Up, which she'd never seen, and I know she's going to love. And we brought her. We made this whole meal and brought it. So all she had to do was set the table and sit down. That was it.
You made your mom set the table on Mother's Day. Well, nice, nice work.
I mean, I couldn't stop her.
No way. You could have asked where the plates were.
When we got there, it was already done.
Oh, you're a horrible daughter. Horrible.
And doesn't Up start with a mournful 20-minute death montage?
Yep,
so you had that.
Sure does.
You got to get her in the mood for where she's headed for her dirt nap. So
I sure will miss my partner.
Yeah. Well, she was a nurse. She knows death.
We're going to get right
She was a nurse in the emergency room.
Well, death then it won't come as a surprise to her later this week.
Not at all.
No. We're going to get right to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Just 1 minute. How about you, Ralph? Anything exciting this weekend?
Well, it was my wife's first Mother's Day.
That's true.
I know. I was thinking about that, yeah.
So we had a good day yesterday. My wife lost her wedding ring in the course of the turmoil that has been our life in the past 7 weeks. Somewhere in the hospital, someplace, some way, lost her diamond wedding band.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I went to Skip and Steve, you know, the Robbins brothers, our buddies,
right.
Skip and Steve. And I went down because that's where we got the ring originally. And I said, I need to replace this ring. I need it by Sunday. I want to make it a Mother's Day surprise. And they don't make the ring anymore.
Oh.
So I got to thank everybody, by the way, at Robbins Brothers, because they really went out of their way to track down the manufacturer of that ring and see if they had any in their old storeroom, and they found one in her size, and we had it in time for Mother's Day. So her Mother's Day surprise was I replaced her diamond wedding ring.
You're the man, Ralph.
So that when she looks at that ring, it'll be her wedding ring, but she'll also remember it was her first Mother's Day, too. So
that's a great gift.
That was the big
thing. Now, I hope you were given, unless Olivia came through, I hope you were giving her the stink eye for once, you know, for ignoring Mother's Day. You probably did nothing for her, right?
Well, I bought a card from her for my wife and then signed it in crayon. And the card said, I can't wait till I can start talking to say how much I love you. So,
wow, your wife saw that it was in crayon and just assumed it was from Kevin.
That's right. New happy for you, Mother's Day.
Outstanding.
So, it was a very nice day.
All right, we got an enormous program today. We're going to tell you all about it. But first, let's get to your phone calls for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, it's the always exciting Kevin and Bean T-shirt. Extra prize for being on the radio with us today. Why don't we start with Chris? He's got a UFC comment for us on line 5. I know it was a huge weekend for the UFC. Hey, Chris, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, nephews? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
Hey, I was on over the weekend. I checked the UFC recap on the internet, and one of the websites had an interview with Dana White. And he had commented on Kimbo Slice's loss, and he said that Kimbo Slice is no longer in the UFC. What do you guys think about that?
Well, he never was much of a fighter in the UFC. He never had much of a success there.
True, I think.
Personality than he was a fighter.
I think that Dana's given him every opportunity to try to find success, and at this point, it's time for them to part ways.
Oh, yeah, I agree. When he went in there, I knew he wasn't going to do that good, and then he got beat by a guy that just came out of the reality show with him. So.
Well, yeah, but let's remember a lot of champion fighters have come out of the show The Ultimate Fighter. Rashad Evans and Keith Jardine, and I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, a lot of top-notch, like I said, belt-holding fighters have come out of the show. So don't just knock the guy because he came from the show.
Oh, no. I agree with that. But what do you guys think about the Shogun Rua fight? Did any of you guys get catch the fight at all?
I did. That was unbelievable.
I pretty much... scream like a little girl because I was so excited to see that it won. You know?
That's what the UFC wants from their fans.
Hey, Mike, what was the controversy? An after the bell hit with Paul Daly or something?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
So
after the
on
fight
the outs
hit.
Now, like they say, he'll never after the fight hit, right?
Yeah.
And Dana says he'll never fight again. Is that the story?
That pretty much sums it up. After the fight was over with Josh Koscheck, you know, it was clear that the referee had stepped in. The fight was over, and he just reached across and sucker punched him.
And that's a deal breaker for Dana White.
Yeah, Dana
like,
was
no more in my UFC.
Well, yeah, I mean the last thing you need to do is create an environment that's a outside of the ring fight. You know, it's not a free for all. So I mean, Dana was not happy.
Good times. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Big show today, as mentioned. A little film called Iron Man 2 has a director named Jon Favreau.
Not familiar with either of those people. But.
Not really clear why he would talk to us today except to gloat, but he's coming on. He certainly doesn't have anything to promote, I'll tell you that.
Iron Man, is Vin Diesel, right? He's a big robot, and he picks up some kid in the forest, and they become the pals or something?
Giant, no, this is Iron Man. This is the Marvel comic book superhero with Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark.
Nothing.
Well, it did, shall we say, okay box office over the weekend. Oh, I don't know, fifth highest box office of all time. So Jon Favreau will join us to gloat coming up later on today's
Until Sharktopus comes.
Yeah.
Also, internet roundup on the program today. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We will catch up with my house guest from the weekend, Lightning, if we can hear him. Can humans hear his voice yet? I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, we have the technology
now. My dog's
now.
Crazy when he was here.
We've caught up now.
Also, class action lawsuit is necessary against Victoria's Secret for this new bustier-type bra that they have that really just encourages women to lie more than they already do. So we're going to put a stop to that. Omar Khan says TV is over. You might as well unplug it and throw your set out the window. There's nothing worth watching anymore. Omar is a guy who needs to check out more shows on more channels, I think, before he makes that decision.
He does have like one.
Yeah, he's getting rid of both of the channels that he watches on his television set with his rabbit ears and tinfoil.
And how about less than 2 hours from now, an announcement we've been we've been sitting on, and it can finally be unveiled today. It's a little show called The Weenie Roast.
What?
It's that time of year again for The Weenie Roast, and we will give you all the information you need if you want to join us for the big summer festival this year. That's all straight ahead right here. And Ralph has the first look at the Showbiz Beat next on The Kevin DeBean Show. News on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
It makes you happy.
It is 5:49, Monday. Ralph Garman is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What did we miss this weekend, Ralph?
Well, not a lot of people missed Iron Man 2. Looks like everybody went. It made $133.6 million in its debut weekend.
Oh, my God. I have no idea.
Yeah. That makes it the fifth highest three-day opening ever.
Wow.
Surpassing Shrek the Third. So here are the only four films that ever beat it. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, Twilight Saga, New Moon, Spider-Man 3, and The Dark Knight, which still has the best opening to date. But not too shabby, $133.6 million. Mm. Jon Favreau's got to be pretty pleased.
Yeah, no kidding.
We'll be talking to him a little bit later in the show today.
I guess the only question is, how fast can they get Iron Man 3 out?
I think now the Iron Man franchise goes on hold while they get Captain America and Thor out.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. They got to get all the storylines going in the right direction.
And
right?
Then they all come together for the Avengers movie. So I think Iron Man, the franchise, is now on hold.
Wow.
We'll have to ask
Interesting.
Jon Favreau about that. Nightmare on Elm Street was number two at the box office with $9.2 million. Shows you what a piece of the pie Iron Man 2 took from the movie-going public. That the second highest grossing film made less than $10 million. How to Train Your Dragon was third. Date Night was fourth. The Backup Plan, Furry Vengeance. Clash of the Titans, Death at a Funeral, The Losers. And the new documentary, Babies, ranked 10th with $1.6 million worth of people going to see babies eat bananas. So you had that going for you. Tom Hanks' son, Colin Hanks, who's got a new TV series coming up on Fox this fall. Got married over the weekend to a publicist named Samantha Bryant, who's a lovely, lovely girl. About 300 people were at the wedding at the London West Hollywood Hotel over the weekend, including Steven Spielberg and other friends of his dad. So it was pretty star-studded.
I'm sure.
But he's a good actor, that Colin Hanks. Looking forward to seeing that new show.
Yeah, this new show looks good.
Bean, you must be so jealous.
What?
In Australia?
Yeah?
You can get your face on a stamp while you're still alive.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm moving.
Russell Crowe's getting his own stamp down under.
Crikey.
The Australia Post says that his face will be featured on a new stamp to mark his latest film, Robin Hood.
Hmm.
This is the second time he's appeared on a stamp, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds to me like this country's version of a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Is the studio gives you enough money, they'll honor you in this way?
Why not? I think America's Postal Service should do that.
Well,
they're always crying about how they're broke. Well, take some money from a movie studio and do a promotional stamp and make an ass load.
That's a great idea.
I think the reason they don't is pretty obvious, though, because you give O.J. Simpson a stamp to promote The Naked Gun, and the next thing you know, he's on trial for murder, and all of a sudden it reflects poorly on you.
Well, no, the stamp's worth even more.
I won't mail my letter with that stamp now in protest.
Well, I mean, that's why they have the rule in the U.S. that you have to be dead 5 years in order to be on a stamp, because they don't want anyone to embarrass them.
Stupid rule.
Yeah, but the way
why don't we have the Iron Man 2 stamp? Why can't I use that on my letters?
Oh, you can. They could have made an Iron Man stamp if they wanted. They had lots of superheroes have been on stamps. You know, there's Batman stamps.
No, but I'm talking about like for the promote the big movie this weekend. They could have got an ass load of money from Paramount to put out the Iron Man 2 stamp, and they could have made a nice piece of coin, and then everybody. I'm saying they take their stamps too seriously.
In other words, it's such an important deal. Let's unveil that FU postal service.
In other words, it's time for product placement on stamps.
That's right.
Yes. As a way to make why not have a stamp for the Snuggie? Right?
Absolutely. Whore it out. Whatever you got, put it on a stamp.
Right? You made the point about O.J. Simpson. What if O.J. Simpson won a Super Bowl and went to the White House and got his picture taken with the president, like everybody who wins championships? You know, that picture would be circulating around right now of mass murderer holding hands with the president. So
right.
What about people have pictures of O.J. Simpson nude in their homes with his dingle dangle hanging out.
Who would do that?
Bean? What about those people? How does that reflect on them?
It reflects poorly on them as well.
Bean?
And?
Bean?
I'd put that in storage before the Postmaster General, Sweet Jack Potter, came over to visit.
I bet you would. Bean, did you, speaking of you and sweetness, did you just hunker down Saturday night with a jar of cold cream and a box of tissues.
She was so good. She was so good.
For those of you who know what we're talking about, Betty White hosted Saturday Night Live on Saturday night, and all the hype around that show drew a lot more eyes to Saturday Night Live than usual. Ratings were up 66%.
Whoa.
It's the first time I've watched it in 5 years, I bet.
It was the highest rated SNL since John McCain was on, and Tina Fey did her impression of Sarah Palin, so that kind of hype able to make watch. But by all accounts, it was a good show, and Betty did quite well for herself.
Anyone care to hear a joke from the monologue? I do have one.
I would love to hear a joke.
I just can't believe I am hosting Saturday Night Live. I have so many people to thank for being here, but I really have to thank Facebook. Campaign to get me to host Saturday Night Live, I didn't know what Facebook was. And now that I do know what it is, I have to say, it sounds like a huge waste of time.
It's our Betty right there.
Yeah, she's got a point. Kind of is. You going to the Lady Gaga Adam Lambert concert?
Ooh, I'm going to miss that.
Just bought my ticket. It's going to be April 24th in West Virginia. Tickets are $100 a pop, but I bought a bunch. I got like 10 of them. We're looking for. Wait a minute. Two guys in West Virginia created a fake concert starring Lady Gaga and Adam Lambert and sold tickets for $100 a piece for that show.
Wow.
They sold $17,800 worth of tickets.
Oh, my God.
Apparently, they're currently under arrest for fraud, as you can imagine, and people are none too pleased. That's what you get for buying a ticket for a Lady Gaga Adam Lambert concert. You deserve what you get.
I'm surprised that they would choose those artists to sell in West Virginia. Wouldn't you sell a lot more Alan Jackson, Toby Keith tickets?
That's true. But yeah, I guess people would know that.
Right.
Either that concert was fake, or they would do some research and find it. Yeah, that would be well publicized. This one, I guess they figured they'd get away with.
Because all them homos go to see Adam Lambert.
And, of course, they don't have the internet, so they can't check it out.
That's right. Well, I got me a kerosene-powered internet now. It's good. It's real good. I'll buy the still.
Hate the South. F the South. Unless we have stations there, then yay, South.
We love Louisiana. Especially.
Oh, Louisiana. Oh, God bless them.
Thank you. Hello, Baton Rouge.
Treme. That's all I got to say. Treme.
Treme, indeed. Right.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means. Just know it's a TV show.
It's a TV show.
And congratulations. Singer Belinda Carlisle has just posted on her Facebook page that the Go-Go's are going out on a farewell tour this summer. Really? Can you call it a farewell tour when you've been gone for so long as it is?
Yeah.
The Go-Go's will celebrate 30 years of Go-Go's music. This summer they're kicking off the Lilith Fair, and we'll be traveling all over the country. And
Ooh.
Your chance to say goodbye to the Go-Go's. For they're the wince.
Our national nightmare is over.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Saint Bono of U2 celebrates his 50th birthday today. Rapper Young MC is 43 years old. We might have to bust a move a little bit later.
Strike up and bust a move.
Yeah, I'm going to strike that up. Drummer Danny Carey of Tool is 49 years old. Actor Eric Palladino is 42 years old. Richard Patrick of Filter, brother of Robert Patrick. Good actor is 42 years old. Odette Yustman.
Oh, my God!
Celebrates her 25th birthday. And speaking of Saturday Night Live, Kenan Thompson, who is the black dude on Saturday Night Live. He is 32 years old. Isn't it a shame every black guy on Saturday Night Live has to be identified as the black dude on Saturday Night Live?
For generations.
That's their job. That's what they do. He's 32 years old, and Ralph Garman, I walk the show his beat.
Ba-da, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's 6:05. Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll check up with Harvey Levin on TMZ.com here in just a couple minutes. By the way, I know that prostitution is illegal, and LT would be in trouble anyway.
Right.
Chick says she's 19, though, and she turns out to be 15. It's not really on him, is it?
That
seems like a raw deal to me. I'm sorry.
There should be some sort of circumstances where that is not as severe a penalty as someone who just has sex with a person they knowingly.
Yeah.
And the girl
very different.
And the girl in the case admits that she was told to tell LT she was 19. It's not like he's saying that as a, you know, as a defense and she's saying, no, that's not true. I mean, she says, I lied to him, told him I was of age. So how do you get him on statutory?
You're right. That's honked up. I don't know what the deal is there.
So anyway, we'll find out what is up for Lawrence Taylor and with TMZ.com.
You know what you do? You should cut her in half and count the rings beforehand. That's what I always do with my prostitutes.
Okay. Good to know.
Oh, wait. That's trees. I'm sorry. My bad.
Hey, how about the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices?
No,
come on.
No.
This time, though.
So
many good stories lately. With the animals are they're running wild. No pun intended. That's what animals do. But I know
In memoriam of Kevin, I guess we'll do it one last time.
Kevin that's is nice of you.
I believe he is still alive. I just believe he phoned in sick today.
Oh, my bad.
Barely.
I think he's fine. But I say let's do it. Do we have the big song? Can we sing along to our favorite here?
We do. Here we go.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and Bean don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Alright, let's take a look at what is on the wheel today. As usual, there'll be 12 that we'll never call, and then the one that we just added this week because it's going to be funny. Yeah. So who do we have up there on the wheel?
See, we got the tweeting Ugandan gorillas, Percy the albino squirrel, Japanese attack bear.
Mm-hmm.
Stop that. Rock, the Japanese attack
bear. Rock throwing elephant. Human faced lamb in heaven.
That's the one I keep hoping for every week.
The giant Japanese jellyfish.
Yep. Hey.
Russian dog girl. Renegade kangaroo. The smiling dog. And finally, the meth beaver.
Meth beaver. I don't even know what that means.
I wonder which one will land on. Let's go ahead and spin it, Michael, and see. All right. You'll see, Ralph. This time you'll see that it's going to be funny when it comes.
No, it will not.
It's landed on the meth beaver.
Oh! The meth beaver!
I gotta go.
No, stick around, Ralph. No, it's going to be good.
It's okay. Ralph, you're missing out on the comedy.
Oh, he's the worst.
These gentlemen are here to talk about beaver.
I love beaver. Don't you, Mike?
I'm a big fan.
I am, beaver. Too. Beaver, don't leave me out.
Beaver is so awesome. I got to be honest. But this beaver.
And Jerry Mathers as the beaver.
No, not that kind of beaver. This beaver is amazing. A Canadian ecologist has discovered the world's largest beaver dam in a remote area of northern Alberta. Now, I don't know much about beavers and how they're I know they're incredibly industrious, and I know they build these dams across rivers to do what? What do they even do, Mike? What's even the point? Melissa, do you know of why they build the dam?
Well, I think they're creating a place for them to swim and live.
Uh-huh.
They're basically creating a home for themselves, but it also does a lot for the environment, I understand.
Let me say something. I have no idea, but I'm sure it has something to do with their surviving.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. There's no other reason they would do it, right. So anyway, usually beaver dams are 10 to 100 meters long. Occasionally, they'll reach 500 meters.
Mm-hmm.
This one that they just found is 850 meters, which, by the way,
God.
If you're not Canadian, is 2,800 feet. That's a beaver dam. On the southern edge of Wood Buffalo National Park, what kind of a beaver can build an almost 3,000-foot dam? So we asked producer Alex to line us up somebody to talk to from the story, and I believe we have a Park Service Ranger from the Wood Buffalo National Park in Canada on the phone with us right now. Hello there.
Hey, man, how's it going, eh? Hey, what's going on? Hey, how you guys doing? What's going on, eh?
Hi, we're calling about the story of the world's largest beaver dam, a dam so large it can be seen from space.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of it, eh? You know, I was working pretty hard on it, and I'm happy to make it going, and I'm glad everybody notices, because it's really good when people notice. I don't want to do some work, and you work so hard, and then don't even notice anything. It's ridiculous, eh?
Wait, is this the actual beaver that we're talking to?
Yeah, I'm the beaver. I'm the beaver that built the dam, eh?
No
that's
way!
I'm glad you're calling, because I heard my phone ring, and I put it in my little beaver pocket, and I pulled it out, and I looked at it, and said, hey, what's this? Someone's calling me on my phone. I couldn't believe it. Especially coming to me, you know, the news of, hey, I hardly know anyone in the U.S. today, you know, a couple of hockey players, that's about it. So I talked on the phone, I couldn't believe it was you, and I'm busy. I'm still working on the dam, but I took some time out to talk to you.
Okay, all right. Is there any way you could just calm down, Olivia? You're kind of making me nervous. What's the deal with you?
Oh, man, I have a bit of a methamphetamine problem where I take a lot of meth, you know, and so I do it, and it gives me a lot of energy, and so I got to do something to keep myself active. So what I do is I go out to the forest, and I get, you know, twigs and figs, and I get some, you know, full trees and stuff, and I pull them out into the river, and I dam it up, and I keep damming, and I keep damming, and I keep damming, and it's unbelievable, and the water keeps rising, and I can't believe it. Once I got started, I couldn't stop. It's like an addiction almost, actually, for me, eh?
Okay, all right. You really do need to relax a little bit, because your little beaver heart is going to explode if you keep going at this pace.
Well, yeah, that's what they say, but sometimes I'll take a downer if I need to get sleep or something. I really don't need much sleep. I just take a lot of more meth, and then I just get back to the dam. It's amazing how much work you can do when you just work around the clock 24 hours a day. It doesn't even matter, eh? You stop a couple for donuts, go to Tim Hortons to get some donuts and coffee, and then you go right back into building the dam again. It's unbelievable, eh?
Hey, I have to ask this. Do you have the beaver fever?
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Oh, but... hello?
Oh, you... So that's it. That's it for you, eh? This phone call's over.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. We were having a good time.
I just
plain
that way.
Just a joke. I'm sorry.
It's hard enough with my name being Justin and all, you know. If you're around.
Hey. 106.7 KROQ is the world famous K-Rock at 620. Who's going to be playing the Weenie Roast this summer? When
who's
will the
going to be
Roast
playing
be?
A Weenie Roast?
No.
Amazing.
No.
That's going to be great.
No, I'm afraid not. Oh, no, it was a question. Who is going to be playing?
What? Who's going to be playing a Weenie Roast?
When is the show? When do tickets go on sale? Gimme, 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 gimme. All your answers coming 1 hour from right now.
Hanson's going to be playing Weenie Roast?
First, though... Monday morning means Harvey Levin is here from TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey. How are you, man?
Hi, Harvey.
I'm good, guys. Good morning. Hi, Lisa May.
Good morning.
We are giddy and silly, so we apologize in advance.
I can tell.
Where do you want to start? So much going on in the wonderful world of TMZ.com. What are you excited about, Harvey?
Well, let's see.
Yes.
I'll
lead then, because before you came on, we were having a conversation on air about, although I understand that prostitution is unfortunately illegal, LT gets a raw deal if the chick tells him that she's 19 and she's really 15. That's not on him, but that's not a consideration at all for the law, right?
It's not. It's called, in the law, it's called strict liability. You know what? I mean... I feel like Supreme Court material here that I can tell you about this.
I think Obama should appoint you.
I do, too. I like you better than that chick who looks like Bob Costas that he's talking about.
It's called strict liability in the law, which basically means it doesn't matter even if you had a reason. It's a crazy concept, but even if you had a completely legitimate, reasonable belief that the girl was over 18, if she showed you phony ID that was so good that any bar would let her in,
right.
But it turns out that she's 16, as in this case, tough luck. You get convicted. At least that's the law. Now, that said, there are juries that will ignore the law and just say, look, this is just totally unfair. Mm. And then the second thing is that a lot of times, I did a lot of work on this over the weekend, that in New York, I'm sure this is the case in most states, but in New York, at the precinct level of the police department, a lot of times they'll look at this and they will just kind of say, you know, we're going to let this go. But it's hard to do that with a celebrity, and it's certainly hard to do that in this case.
Right. We're talking about Lawrence Taylor, for folks who didn't get the reference. He, of course, the football great for the New York Giants, arrested for a statutory rape a couple of days ago. Now, is this, assuming it goes to trial, which I imagine it will, is this the type of case that would be a jury, or is it going to be a judge dealing in it?
Oh, God, no. This would... this would absolutely be a jury, because a judge just has to impose the law. There's no chance if a judge does it. I mean, the judge can't ignore it.
Right.
What you're banking on, it's the again, you know, the Supreme Court material here, it's called jury nullification, which means basically the jury can ignore the law and do what it thinks is fair, even though it's technically violating the jury instructions. Mm-hmm. And it does happen, and that's the only thing you can really bank on here, but it's a really tough situation.
It is very much so. By the way, do all lawyers, when there's a vacancy on the Supreme Court, because they don't happen very often, do they all like make sure they've got their pagers and phones with them just in case they get the call? Because you don't know when the call might be coming.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I was actually at the gym this morning, and every time the phone vibrated, I just ran to it because I just felt I was in contention there.
Sure, you got a shot.
Yeah.
Good. What's going on with our friend Dr. Murray in the Michael Jackson case? It looks like there's some more legal wrangling happening there as well.
Well, I mean, two things. One, uninteresting that they may delay the preliminary hearing because they haven't gotten all of the papers. More interesting is that we found out that yesterday Dr. Murray went to the church of Joel Osteen. You know who he is, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's one of those mega church guys, right?
He is the mega church guy. I mean, he is, you know, like in the pastoral world, he is the equivalent of like Costco. You know, I mean, he's the biggest. And he's in Houston. It's a huge church. So Murray went there, and Osteen came down and hugged him and knew that he needed help, and they had a moment.
That's nice. Last question for you, Harvey. I'm really upset if this Tom Cruise story turns out to be true. As much as we have poked fun at Scientology and how crazy it is over the years, what it sounds like somebody is doing to Tom Cruise is inexcusable. Can you bring our listeners up to speed with that story?
I can, but only if you let me talk about Charlie Sheen after that.
Oh, yes, please.
Of course.
Sure, okay. Of course. Yeah.
Okay, because that's an interesting story. So the guy who's a defector of the Church of Scientology says that when Tom Cruise went to the confessional or whatever it is at Scientology and talked frankly about him, that they secretly videotaped it. And he says he's the one who did it. He also says now that he has gotten back the things that were said during those secret videotape sessions, and then came to learn that the big mucky muck at Scientology, the guy who runs it,
mm-hmm.
who was supposedly like Tom Cruise's best friend, mm-hmm. was talking about the things Cruise said, and this is what he alleges, at cocktail parties and laughing about it. And they were just having a big laugh at the expense of Tom Cruise. At least that's the allegation of this guy. If it's true, it doesn't matter what you think of Scientology. It's loathsome.
Yeah.
David Miscavige that they're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There have been rumors for some time that he does this. He keeps a dossier of videotapes and audio tapes on a lot of their celebrity members in order to kind of keep them in line and keep them in the church.
But the defector is saying it's not just secretly keeping the videotape. It's literally having whiskey parties late at night and then laughing about it.
Oh my God. There's no reason for that to be videotaped. I mean, that clearly is a private confessional akin to what a Catholic would tell his priest, right?
If it's true, it's shocking.
Yeah.
It is shocking. All right. Final moments with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com and TMZ Television. Check your local listings. What's going on with Charlie Sheen? Oh, yeah, what's going on with Charlie Sheen?
This is so interesting. So we found out that Charlie, you know, we've been talking about this for a while, that Charlie Sheen is trying to plea bargain his case in Aspen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. The DA was willing, we're told, to give Charlie Sheen either probably a felony, but it would disappear after 2 years of probation, right? So in other words, he would plead to a felony, no jail time, and then 2 years later, it would just disappear as long as he was clean.
Wow.
Charlie's people were so concerned that he couldn't make it through probation without violating the law.
Really?
That they have been negotiating with the DA to give him jail time to either reduce or eliminate the probation. So in other words, he would serve jail time so he wouldn't be placed on probation or a very short period of probation, because they just don't think he can be a good boy for 2 years.
That's
pathetic. God, that's unbelievable.
I mean, it's so interesting. But you know, the thing is, there's a lot of logic behind it.
Yeah, sure.
I can understand it from a legal standpoint, absolutely, because it's so much worse for him if he violates the probation. But don't most celebrities
he goes to prison?
He goes to prison, right. And most celebrities do anything they can to stay out of jail, though, even for a short time. That's crazy.
So we're told that he here's where the negotiations are, that he's willing to do 10 days, and they're asking for more like 30 days. So they're haggling over time right now, but Charlie is willing to do time because his people think he just can't make it.
Do you think he'll come back to Two and a Half Men?
Yeah, I mean, I heard something late last week from people involved with him who were saying he's over it. And they're very credible people. Mm. But when push comes to shove, it's over $40 million. He declared his assets not too long ago, and he has a lot of money, yeah. But he has $16 million in assets, and $6 million of that is a watch collection. So, I mean, I just think it's hard for him to turn. I think it's hard for him to turn his back on $40 million.
Well, Harvey, gotcha. Two and a Half Men will take on a whole new meaning if he ends up in prison.
Thanks, Harvey. Have a great week, man. We appreciate it.
I see you.
Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Rancid on the way. Also, we got some Linkin Park and some Weezer, and of course, your details on this summer's Weenie Roast. Time now for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. Speaking of the Weenie Roast, and again, we'll have that information for you in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. A lot of calls at 323-520-AFRO about the Weenie Roast, including this one.
I need the Weenie. I need it. I need the Weenie. I need it, need it, need it.
Actually, maybe she wasn't calling about a concert at all. Actually, you can't really tell with that.
It's possible.
This one, I am pretty sure. And, you know, I know everybody has a favorite band. Everybody's got somebody they love. Everybody's got somebody. They got a wish list of who they're hoping is on the bill. I can't say whether this guy's dream comes true or not. They're going to have to wait about a half an hour for the announcement.
Hi, I know you say it's a little too early to be talking Weenie Roast, but I'm willing to pay $1,000 for a ticket. But only if Kevin's Taint is playing. Kevin's Taint. Jesus Christ. You can call me back at 1-800-FU-KEVIN.
I can either confirm or deny that Kevin's Taint. I will tell you the offer was extended, so we'll see if he or she comes through. I don't understand what this one's about at all, so let's just roll it.
Kevin's Milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. He can teach you, but he has to charge.
Yes.
You
anyone
want to know what's in Kevin's Milkshake,
no.
By the way?
No, I don't think I know we do. What's in his milkshake. That's the problem.
Ryan Seacrest may not understand what a certain word means, says this caller.
Hey, guys. Hello. I have to drive carpool with a thief. As the driver picks the station, and she always picks Kiss FM. Ugh. Lord help me. Anyway, Ryan Seacrest was just giving away tickets to be down front for American Idol, and he said you can be right there in the mosh pit. Oh. Yeah, the mosh pit of American Idol. Shut up, Ryan Seacrest.
Well, in his defense, they were moshing the other night when Harry Connick Jr. was up there singing. I did see them slam dancing.
Wall of Death?
Yeah.
American Idol is a lot of things. A show with a mosh pit? Not one of them. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I wish I had this call before we talked to Harvey Levin, when we were talking about the Lawrence Taylor case, because he makes an excellent legal point.
So if Lawrence Taylor yelled surprise, does it also make her 18? I'm just saying.
It's a great point. Great point. I'm sorry to say, I know Iron Man 2 just killed at the box office this weekend. We're talking to Jon Favreau, the director, a little bit later on. Apparently, not everyone loved it. There is a complaint from this caller.
I saw Iron Man 2 today. Oh, dude, that movie is f***ing G, dude. But the only thing that was a downfall for me is why they couldn't show Scarlett Johansson. She's hot.
Yeah, it's not a PG movie if you show that part of Scarlett Johansson.
That's right.
Sorry, can't help you. Last week we were talking about a new invention for reals. It's a cuddle drug. It's something that that women can give their guys that will make them want to cuddle with them, and that's what this guy's talking about.
Cuddle drug, huh? So what happens if you OD on the cuddle drug? Do you spoon somebody to death?
What are you going to do, spoon him to death?
Oh, no, let's
hey, Ralph, what's
that
from? Where's that? Is that in a movie or a TV
not
show?
Not from anything.
Yeah. Here's a follow-up on our call about why women fake orgasms from last week.
Hey, you guys want to know why women fake orgasms?
Sure.
It's because they think that we care.
No, you did.
Good point. Here's a call on a show we seem to have all fallen under the spell of. It's called Glee.
I really hate to say it, but I think I'm starting to agree with Omar. Glee, stop sucking ass.
Does it?
Oh, that's right.
It's great.
No. Omar's the only one who hasn't swallowed the Kool-Aid yet. He's the only one out there waving his arms going, what's wrong with you people? Glee sucks. Speaking of Omar, this one's for him too.
Omar, I don't care what people say. That reggaeton horn rules.
And finally, remember last week when Lisa Mae was basically rubbing her hands together with glee, knowing that one day her mother would be dead? Remember
couldn't
how
wait.
Excited she was, Ralph? Just I, dying. No pun intended
wait.
For her mom
not
to die.
I couldn't wait to read the will.
Well, it's not so much fun when it happens to you, is it, Lisa? Listen to this.
Lisa Mae, one of these days, you're not going to be here. So why don't you let me appreciate you all over your face?
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
She's got a horn.
323-520-AFRO. That's the number. Ralph's got the showbiz beat right after this on the Kevin and Bean.
Hey!
K-Rock Weenie Roast is in less than a month. Which
what?
Bands will be playing? Which bands? Not who.
Who's
which bands
be
will be playing? Details in less than a half an hour or so right here on the world-famous K-Rock at 649. Monday here on the Kevin and Bean Show, Jon Favreau, director of a film called Iron Man 2, joining us later on, and also why a class action lawsuit must be filed against Victoria's Secret. All that straight ahead here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, here's Ralph Garman.
Before I get to the showbiz news, I've got tickets to give away to a special advanced screening that we're going to be having of MacGruber.
MacGruber!
The crime dog?
No, we have a winner, believe it or
stop
not.
Stop it. That's McGruff. McGruff was the crime
I'm
dog.
I'm confused. I'm so...
MacGruber is the hilarious Saturday Night Live sketch that is being transferred to the big screen. We're going to have a special screening on Thursday, May the 20th. Movie opens nationwide on the 21st. You can check it out for anybody else, though, if you're one of the lucky callers who gets through with the answer to my trivia question this morning, which is, name the actress that has portrayed MacGruber's grandmother. If you know the actress who on Saturday Night Live portrayed MacGruber's grandmother, call now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. And if you're one of the first five people to get through with the correct answer, boom, get yourself a pair of tickets to MacGruber. How about that? How about it?
All right, good
I'm
deal.
Looking forward to that movie. Val Kilmer is the bad guy in it.
Philippi. Great casting for the villain.
Yeah, Ryan Phillippe's in it. My buddy Kristen Wiig, of course, is in it. Also, good stuff. Speaking of movies, top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, there was Iron Man, and then there was everything else. $133.6 million is what Iron Man made in 3 days.
Thank God.
Between that and what it's made foreign release, the total so far for Iron Man is $327 million. That's a third of $1 billion right there, people.
Yeah. I'd love to get a copy of that.
It has been out for 10 days, right? I mean,
yeah,
including
true.
The foreign, right?
Sluggish, sluggish return on their investment.
People seem very happy with it as well. People
yes.
seem to like it. People who are not, they're not just going, they're liking it, which means they're likely to go back, A, and B, tell their friends. So it's just going to be a juggernaut here the rest of the summer.
It's the fifth highest opening weekend ever for a motion picture. So congratulations. Nightmare on Elm Street. Was second at the box office with $9.2 million. Then How to Train Your Dragon, Date Night, and the Backup Clan. Plan, rather than Backup Clan. That's a different movie. It's about guys down south wearing sheets. Furry Vengeance was sixth. Clash of the Titans, Death at a Funeral, The Losers, and Babies, the documentary, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. We have an answer for my trivia question?
We do.
For the MacGruber passes? Brian?
Yes.
Hey, who? What actress on Saturday Night Live played MacGruber's grandmother?
That was Betty White.
That was Betty White just this past Saturday night. Congratulations. Hold on, we're going to give you the details, but you're going to see the special advanced screening of MacGruber!
All right, thanks very much.
All right, thanks so much to Dawn and Austin and Megan and Chris, who also called in and won.
If there's one thing I'm known for, it's my muffin.
Thank you, Betty.
Oh, no. Oh, did she talk? All sexy like that
she
on
did.
Saturday. Oh, she's old and she talked sexy. Mm-hmm. That is always funny.
They sort of beat the novelty of old people saying sexy things to death on SNL. I got to tell you, the writers were a little bit lazy at how they used Miss White. But you know what? She's such a consummate professional, Ralph, that she kind of elevated the material with how good her performance was.
You know where she should go now? Now Betty White had such a success on SNL.
Puppy Lake.
Celebrity boxing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard about Friday night's match or not in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hometown to great and wonderful men everywhere.
And Ralph Garman, by the way.
Hey. Porn star Gina Lynn
Yeah.
And Jesse James' former mistress, Michelle Bombshell McGee.
Oh, really? No.
Squared off.
Those are two tough broads,
in the square
imagine.
Circle. And indulged in a little sweet science over the weekend. And apparently, Michelle beat Gina.
Isn't Michelle Bombshell McGee, it seems like she took the fast track to celebrity boxing. Usually you've run out of all other washed up celebrity things that you can do before you get to boxing. You don't rush to that.
Well, it was billed as the homewrecker versus the porn star, and Michelle came out victorious despite Gina trying to psych her out at the pre-event press conference by wearing a Team Sandra t-shirt.
Oh,
nice. No, you didn't. You just made her angry. Look, you don't want to box a girl who's got a lot of Nazi tattoos, in my opinion.
Yeah.
No matter who you are. You're outclassed at that point. This is a great story. You know, down there in Hollywood, they have Grauman's Chinese Theater. For those of you who aren't familiar with it, it is one of the original theaters in Hollywood. It's a classic old theater. And it's known for the cement footprints and handprints of celebrities that they put there in the courtyard. So when you go down there and you're a tourist, you can look around and you can say, oh, look, there's George Clooney's handprints, or there's R2-D2's footprints or whatever. So they do. They have R2-D2's footprints.
They do?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. Okay. So in front of Grauman's Chinese Theater, they have these low-life bums who dress up as superheroes and whatnot.
Yeah.
And they hang around there and they jump on unsuspecting tourists. And they say, hey, you want to get your picture taken with Spider-Man or Batman or Shrek or Captain Jack Sparrow? All these people dress up in these costumes, these impersonators.
Right. Yeah.
And you take a photo, and then you're supposed to tip them something after you take the photo.
And Ralph said they're lowlifes, and you say, well, why is that? Well, let me tell you why. Because what they'll do is they'll dress up, like he said, like Spider-Man or Captain Jack Sparrow, and then when a young boy walks by, a six-year-old tourist goes, I want my picture with Spider-Man, Dad, mm-hmm. please. And he says, oh, sure, no problem, $7.
Right. He jams them. Usually after the photo, too, by the way. That'll be $10 or something, you know. So it's an uncomfortable situation. The reason I bring up is that there is an actress down there who is impersonating Flo. You know who Flo is?
She's Alice?
Flo from the Progressive Insurance commercials.
Oh.
She's the woman who sits there and gives you the price gun to name your own price for insurance, and she's got those running commercials that are very popular now. There's a woman out there impersonating Flo, getting her pictures taken with tourists.
Okay.
They're out of people to impersonate.
No kidding. Who wants to take that back, you know, from vacation?
Hey, look, I met someone who looks like Flo from the insurance commercials. What an exciting vacation you must have. I just thought that was weird. And Sasha Gray, the porn star, familiar with her?
Yeah.
She's becoming quite the little mainstream actress. She, of course, starred in Steven Soderbergh's film The Girlfriend Experience, which was critically acclaimed. She's just been added to the cast of Entourage. Apparently, she will play Adrienne Grenier's girlfriend coming up in the fifth season. Apparently playing herself, as if Adrienne's hooking up with porn star Sasha Grey.
Cool.
Okay.
You know what that means.
He's hooking up with porn star Sasha Grey.
Well, that, but we get to see her naked.
Oh,
finally.
So.
On the cable television, we get to see her naked. Oh, wait a minute. She's naked all the time in everything she does. Today's celebrity birthday is Odette Justman. Speaking
of
people.
Oh, my God.
I'd like to see naked. She's 25 years old today. Kenan Thomas of Kenan and Kel on Saturday Night Live. He is 32. Robert Patrick of Filter is 42. Eric Palladino.
Yeah, Eric.
From ER is 42 years old today. Young MC. Do we have any Bust a Move yet?
I don't believe so. No, I'm sorry.
All right, next hour we'll get some Bust a Move. 43 years old today. Drummer Danny Carey of Tool is 49. And Bono of U2, or Bono, as Frank Sinatra used to say, is 50 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, hey. 106.7 KROQ is the world famous Garrick at 7:04. Weenie roast. Trying to be the subliminal guy.
Oh.
There you go. Hey, look, it's Omar.
Break the mood.
Omar's got a horn.
Yes, we do have the announcement and all the details you can't wait to hear for this year's Weenie Roast 2010. That'll be coming up next. First, though, the reason Omar is in the room is we got to have some sort of intervention on him because he's lost his mind.
He's out of control.
You're out of control.
We haven't started talking and already you're out of control.
All right. For starters, by the way, you guys are out of order.
See, listen.
Okay. For this conversation, for the benefit of people who maybe it's Monday and they haven't even had coffee.
What?
Try to tone it down a little bit.
Man,
first, that's part of the problem is that Omar is a guy who yells about everything guy lately.
He used to be this guy only when he got drunk. Now he's this guy sober. He's just an aggressive, belligerent guy now all the time.
He's Jim Cramer on the CNBC now. He's just screaming and throwing money around all the time. But,
nice Mad Money reference, by the way.
And the other thing is about Omar is he has become the guy who has cartoon hate for so many things. Look. Lots of us have people we don't like, but nobody hates the way you hate Rachel Ray, for instance. Yeah. When you get something in your mind that you don't like anymore, will not shut up about it. You're screaming and you're furious that everybody doesn't agree with you.
You missed his Justin Bieber terror last week. That was quite entertaining.
Yeah, he is furious about Justin Bieber.
It's hard being right. Okay, first of all, maybe that's what it is. Else being wrong. Yes.
But now you're getting to the point where you're starting. I mean, you're looking at. I don't like air, guys. I don't like grass.
I'm just looking towards the future, and in my opinion, TV is over.
Yeah, he storms in the office
this
the
is
other
the
day.
Death of TV.
TV is over. TV is over.
It's done. It's over.
TV.
There's great shows on right
as
now.
As an entity is over.
Here's the thing, okay? The bad outweighs the good by far, okay?
As always,
how
by
much
the way.
Crap are you going to eat before you say, okay, enough is enough?
Now let it be known that Omar has no cable, has rabbit ears, and gets like three channels.
Right, but
your opinion of what's out there on television, in my opinion, may be a little skewed.
But working on this show, I go online all the time, and I see a lot of TV, a lot of shows online also.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, to pull clips for the show. So
right.
I think, even though I only do have two channels, I have a good gauge of what's out there.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
But Ralph is absolutely right. Unless you're able at home to watch Mad Men and to watch Breaking Bad and to watch all these other shows that are out there that are just such quality, you got no reason to complain if all you get is CBS Saturday nights.
Here we go.
He's got a list here of reasons why TV is over.
Okay. 24, great show, getting canceled.
Right.
Lost, it's going to be over this season.
Okay.
Flash forward. Probably going to get canceled. Okay? Steve Carell, leaving The Office, is probably going to blow without it. The Scrubs now sucks because Zach Braff left. Okay?
Right.
List of shows that blow. Cougar Town, still on.
All right.
Correct? People love The Jersey Shore. That show blows. Keep them up with The Kardashians. It's one of the top 20 rated TV shows. Still sucks.
Unwatchable. You're right.
Yeah. Okay. Martha Stewart, Rachel Ray, The View, According to Jim, Two and a Half Men, SNL, 90210, Gossip Girl, Oprah, Dr. Oz, Dr. Phil, all these stupid judge shows on TV. George Lopez has a show, man.
Yes, he does.
I can't argue with any of that.
He's rocking us right now.
Really? Okay,
really? But Omar, everything you've mentioned is a few hours a week.
There's quality TV, man.
But there's hundreds of other hours of stuff that you can watch.
You're like the wife that's getting abused, man. How many beatings are you going to take before you call it quits, man?
He does have
call a point. Call the helpline.
He does have a point in that for every Nurse Jackie or Mad Men, there's thousands of other shows that are horrible.
But there's lots of shows too. You know, you're forgetting about Lie to Me, The Mentalist, V. I mean, there's a lot of good shows on now.
Tudors.
Probably going to get canceled.
House.
I'm thinking, the majority of the people don't enjoy those shows. My whole thing is that people are so dumb and they're so geared to the Justin Bieber that mentality.
BS. Justin Bieber.
No, I'm serious. That's why they love the American Idols and the Dancing with the Stars and those BS shows because they don't want to think. I love House. I love those shows. You know, those shows. The Mentalist, great show. Lie to Me, great show.
Mm-hmm.
But those are far few in between all the crap that's out there.
And far less popular than a lot of the crap shows. That's a good point. If you look at ratings.
The death to me was when The Simpsons did the opening credit. You know how they do the couch gag?
Right.
They did one to TikTok, the Kesha song.
It's popular culture. They're trying to stay current. They're commenting on what's going on.
The Simpsons have never been about that. They've always been about huge, relevant, thoughtful people. But now that they're just gearing towards that dumb, idiot people out there that love American Idol and Dancing with the Stars because they don't have to think about it, that really peeves me off.
Wow, man. It's just a little guy who says, cowabunga, eat my shorts, dude. That's all he is. Relax.
That show is a huge part of a lot of people's life for 20 years they've been on. And now for them to do this Kesha BS?
Okay, first of all,
TV isn't dead. because there's cable now, and there are small shows like Mad Men that have a chance to survive.
That's
because
right.
You don't have to be on a giant network TV making giant ratings. So it doesn't matter what's
popular.
You don't
need the stupid people to watch Mad Men,
right.
Because enough smart people watch it to keep it on because it's on cable.
Same with Nurse Jackie and The Tudor. So quality is there that we couldn't have probably had 25 years ago.
Suck it, Omar!
But how could you guys... Omar, hold on. Let me pause you there for 1 second here. But here's the thing about you, and this is why you're crazy. The rest of us go, yeah, there are a lot of shows I don't like, so I'm not going to watch those. I'll spend my time watching the shows I do like and be happy with that. You're a guy who says, I love The Simpsons, and I've been watching it for 21 years, but now I'm turning my back on it, and it sucks because you didn't like 90 seconds of one episode. That's you're going off the rails. I don't understand.
Just abandon a show.
The last 10 seasons have been questionable.
Oh, please.
Last 10 seasons. Last 10 seasons have been okay.
Look, the truth of the matter is, Ralph, nailed it when you sat down. You've got no room to talk if you have two channels. If you only get ABC and CBS at home, then you don't know what you're missing.
Well, I guess Channel 9,
too. You didn't hear me. I mean, I still watch. I've seen Mad Men. I've seen Breaking Bad. I've seen all these shows that you
Then how could you complain about television if you've seen either of those shows? God I have a TV.
No, here are shows that only give you two episodes a goddamn season, and you have to freaking wait 6 months to get the other goddamn season, dude. So you're willing to wait all that goddamn time? What's wrong with you, man?
Let's talk to Sydney real quick on line two.
I got other things I can do in between Dexters. Thanks.
We're living in a society.
Sydney, go ahead.
You guys have got to seriously give Omar a break. He's pretty dead on this one. I hate to say it.
Oh, he did win a lot of crap. You're right.
I thought, you know what? He's out of his gourd again. But no, he's pretty dead on. There is nothing but crap on television.
Oh,
and
that's
the
just
stuff
false.
That is on television is far too cerebral for the pea-headed masses.
Well, don't worry about what they're watching. Enjoy what you're watching.
Oh, I do, but I'm always terrified that it's going to get canceled because everything I really like always does.
Here's the perfect example. Conan O'Brien.
They're a great comedy
Conan
team.
Conan O'Brien got canceled because they wanted to bring Jay Leno back. What does that tell you?
But that was a contractual business thing. That had nothing to do with the state of television.
But who? It's the. It
and
is,
now he's
going to
be on TBS.
TV,
now he's
going to
be on TBS. You can watch him over there because there's cable channels available.
TBS.
Yeah, I know. So suck it.
Look, Sydney, thank you for the call very much, by the way. Omar, the deal is you can't expect. It's called broadcasting. They have to put on shows for everybody. It's never going to be personalized to Omar's taste.
But there's
so you have to pick and choose. You get yourself a DVR and you pick and choose and you program.
You're missing my point.
Omar television lineup of all time and enjoy that.
You guys are missing my point. My point is that there's so much badness out there. It used to be back in the day. Okay, there was bad, there was good. It was pretty even. Okay, it wasn't really all kinds of bad. You know what I'm saying? Because anybody with a TV camera now can get a TV show. Okay? Mike watches a show where they just slow things down and people watch this.
Time Warp.
There's a show where people put stuff in a blender and people hey, will they blend? People watch that. That's on TV. You said, Ralph, the other day, there's this ish my dad says. That's going to be a TV show. Will Shatner is going to be reading tweets on TV.
Yes.
So much more bad is coming out than good.
It's not bad. It's just for individual tastes.
It's more profitable for the companies to do all these shows that only takes one dude reading tweets and a camera, and that's going to be equally as profitable as shooting Mad Men. I'm sure it takes millions of dollars to shoot those episodes.
Right.
They're going to stop doing those. Death the TV is on its way, my brothers. Okay? Yeah.
So we should get on board.
You should throw your TVs away and burn them now. Get out now while you can.
Omar is mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
Omar longs for the days of Three's Company and The Love Boat when there was good shows on television.
Yeah, that's quality.
Yeah. What's it like to go to work, make a movie, put it out, and have it be the fifth highest box office opening weekend of all time in the United States of America? We will ask that question when we talk to director Jon Favreau of Iron Man 2 coming up in just a few minutes here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we got the internet roundup on the way. All right, it's that time of year again. June 5th is the Weenie Roast. Tickets go on sale Saturday, Street Team presale Thursday. Who will you be seeing this year? Hit it, Steve.
This summer, my plans are going to the K-Rock Weenie Roast.
K-Rock Weenie Roast.
Come on, LA, you guys ready tonight?
K-Rock Weenie Roast.
2010, Saturday, June 5th, Verizon Wireless Amphitheater.
Who doesn't love Sublime songs?
It wasn't for Terry, I'd never get it.
Sublime with Rome.
What do you think, you guys? Weenie Roast, K-Rock?
The only way to kick off the summer.
I am feeling like a roller.
Stone Temple Pilots.
It's Courtney!
Hole. Weenie Roast, Silver Sun Pickups.
Trying to get across with your music.
Devo.
Rip it! Rip it good!
And this is the best thing that could have happened.
Please welcome Paramore!
Paramore. Spoon.
Page the Elephant.
Temper Trap.
Passion Pit.
K-Rock.
Weenie Roast.
Against Me.
Dirty Heads.
So low. Chevelle. Deftones. K-Rock Weenie Roast 2010. Exclusive pre-sale Thursday. Tickets on sale Saturday. Get all the details at krock.com. K-Rock.
All right. There's a lot of information to process right there. What's not to like about that show at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater in Irvine, California on June 5th? It is a Saturday. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at noon. Pre-sale for street team members is going to be Thursday, so you definitely want to sign up for that right now. It is free and takes about a minute. This year, by the way, tickets are $45 to $75. Once again, it's one of the most incredible values across this great country of ours for any summer concert. It's an unbelievable lineup. Psychomac, I'm just thinking about what the hill at Verizon Wireless is going to look like when Sublime is out there doing all that songs on that Saturday
night. It's just going to be one cloud.
They are a party.
It's just going to be a giant cloud of dank smoke.
Sublime with Rome. Sublime at the Weenie Roast. Stone Temple Pilots, who, you know, is one of the most legendary bands we've ever played, coming back with all of their songs. The return of Hole with their fantastic new album that's out right now. Silver Sun Pickups, who we've had the chance to see a couple of times before, who are just incredible live. I don't know that we've ever had Devo at one of our shows before, but how about that?
Yeah, that's impressive.
How about the legendary Devo? You don't get a chance to see them very often. They are on the bill. Of course, Paramore, one of the greatest, most exciting rock bands on stage anywhere today. Paramore is going to be playing. Deftones, who have returned after a very difficult personal journey in the past few years with one of the best albums they've ever made. They are unbelievable live, too, by the way. That is a heavy album, and they are going to be great on stage. Another band that has really been up and coming the last couple of years is Spoon. They're amazing musicians, too. And then, you know, all sorts of other bands like Chevelle and Cage the Elephant and the Dirty Heads. Against Me, Mike, I know they're one of your favorites.
Yeah, I'm very excited they're on the bill.
Temper Trap, who we just had playing live on the Kevin and Bean Show a couple of weeks ago, are amazing. And Passion Pit, who are so much fun. That's when you're going to get your dance on. So it's an unbelievable lineup. It is Saturday, June 5th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Again, tickets are $45 to $75. There is a four-ticket limit in reserved seats. No ticket limit for the lawn. And there are other some specific details that you might want to know from Live Nation. You can go to krock.com or kevinabean.com to get the details on how that works. Like I said, I know it was a lot of information. This is the first time you are hearing about it, and you are already making your plans to buy your tickets on Saturday or the pre-sale on Thursday. So one more time, let's find out who's playing the Weenie Roast this year. Hit it again for me, Steve.
This summer, my plans are going to the K-Rock Weenie Roast.
K-Rock Weenie Roast.
K-Rock Weenie Roast 2010, Saturday, June 5th, Verizon Wireless Amphitheater.
Who doesn't love Sublime songs?
It wasn't for Terry, I'd never get it.
Sublime with Rome.
What do you think, you guys? Weenie Roast, K-Rock?
The only way to kick off the summer.
Stone Temple Pilots.
It's Courtney!
Hole. Weenie Roast. Silver Sun Pickups.
What are you trying to get across with your music?
Devo.
Rip it! Rip it good!
And this is the best thing.
Passion Pit. K-Rock. Weenie Roast. Against me. Dirty Heads.
So low.
Chevelle. Deftones. K-Rock Weenie Rose 2010. Exclusive pre-sale Thursday. Tickets on sale Saturday. Get all the details at krock.com.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
We're that's having us.
Oh, we are.
Critic.
Oh, I thought yes. Oprah was.
We par have quite a week going. I mean,
no, that's par for the cake. For the course. I got it. Par for the course.
For us.
It was almost par for the cake there for I a know. Minute.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
So sad when daddy's mind starts to go, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's going to get really rough in the years to come, too, I'm sorry to say. It's 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q, 734. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, STP right there. We got them on the bill for this year's Weenie Roast, June 5th, just announced moments ago at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. You know June 5th is going to be here practically in a minute. I mean, the way this month is flying on by already. So you definitely want to make plans to buy your tickets this Saturday at noon or get on the pre-sale at Thursday. Get all the details through kevinandbean.com or krock.com. All right, who wants to check out the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Ooh, 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 ooh,
yes,
me.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
As much as Omar hates, I don't think he could argue that the internet is over yet because we continue every single week to find stuff that astonishes us that's online right now. And that's why we do the Internet Roundup for you, is we basically pull all the favorite things that we have found for the week and put them up in one easy-to-find spot at kevinandbean.com because, let's face it, you can't see everything. And, Ralph, I know you're going to especially love this first clip if you haven't seen, the clip of the Tyra Banks show.
Oh.
Where she pretends that she has rabies.
Yes, I've seen it.
Now, she's in Tyra's talk show, has been phenomenally successful, enormously profitable. She's been on, what, 5 or 6 years now, it seems like she's been doing the show, right? And thank God it's going away, because either she's out or she's crazy. But listen to this attempt at humor that Tyra makes on her show recently.
Kind of foamy, and then they tested me, and the dog has rabies, and I had to get a shot. So I'm feeling a little weird, but I'm okay. I'm just thirsty. So can we pause for a second? Can I have some water? Sorry.
She gets bummed. Starts to foam with the mouth.
Okay, what?
And then
what's
she said,
going on
it's
there?
Prank day on the Tyra Banks show.
What?
So she pranked everyone into thinking that she had rabies and became a rabid dog.
She's crawling around on her hands and knees.
Barking and foaming at the mouth.
They're all just looking at her like, what are you
doing? Because they that's what happens when humans get rabies. They become dogs.
So awful.
Effing bitch. I want to hit her with a shovel.
That's an excellent point, because when humans get rabies, they just get sick and lay down, right?
No, I mean, they become dogs and they start barking.
I'm afraid my dear Tyra is not a good enough actress to pull that one off.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry to say. But we can't even do justice in the few seconds that we had there, but you have to see this whole clip. And Lisa's so right. The audience is just looking at her like, well, at least I didn't pay to get in here, but seriously, right. What the F, right?
And she starts screaming, it's prank day! It's prank day!
All right. The internet, a lot of people out there with lots of time on their hands and a very active, healthy imagination. And I guess some guy somewhere wanted to find out what it was like if the little ghosts from the Pac-Man video game were alive and had a conversation. I don't know why you do that, but here's, I guess, what they would be talking about if they were real.
I thought I had him trapped, but that asshole saved one of his big meth balls. I
hate when he does that.
Yo, Blinky. Clyde's never watched 24.
What? Yeah. Are you serious?
You heard it got canceled.
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about that right now. Seriously, though, Clyde, you are missing out, man. Netflix that.
Yeah, okay. Can we just not make a big deal out of it?
But you watched Lost, right?
I've watched like 2 episodes. It's okay.
Oh,
two episodes?
Go on and on.
See, because there are times when you're not playing the Pac-Man game and they've got all that downtime. Time to kill.
It's in that little pen in the center just waiting for it.
Exactly. Omar did not choose audio for this for the roundup, but your George Clooney Nespresso commercial is up, Ralph. And I know you're hot for George, and he's very suave in this commercial.
Very funny. Very funny.
Definitely should watch that. Here's a product. Now that you've got your Snuggie, this is something that you may want to think about getting if you're having problems with – how can I put this delicately? You're having problems with certain – body functions that your partner may be delivering to you under the covers each night, and not the good ones, okay? Here's a product for you.
It's the problem in the marriage bed that no one likes to talk about. Maybe that's why they call it silent but deadly. Well, now there's a real solution to a very real problem. Introducing the Better Marriage Blanket. On the outside, the Better Marriage Blanket looks and feels just like a soft, warm comforter. But on the inside, it contains a layer of activated carbon fabric, the same type of fabric used by the military to protect against chemical weapons. Flatulence molecules easily pass through the cotton shell and are harmlessly absorbed into the layer of carbon fabric.
Okay,
so that must if you need be a comfy blanket.
Mm-hmm. Like sleeping under Kevlar.
So if you need the Flatulence Better Marriage Blanket, and by the way, I may just be dumb, it looks real to me.
It
looks
sounds
like a
real.
It looks like a real product with a real phone number at the end of it.
So I don't know people who could use it.
I think it's real. I don't think it's a parody.
So Lynette Carolla invented something finally, right?
Yes, exactly.
Every week we do Jimmy Kimmel's This Week in Unnecessary Censorship, which is always so well done, so funny. Jimmy's just got a team over there at his late night ABC TV show of people who just sit and watch the show and look for places they could beep it as if it was something obscene, but it never is, but it sure is funny.
This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
That's one of the things that I've struggled with over the years is f***ing shafts.
I've been eating every day for the last 10 years.
What do moms really want for Mother's Day? First, Angela.
A c***.
A c***. Can you
TV card. The answer was card.
Filthier than I thought it was. It's crazy. It. This is one of our favorites from the past week or so, and if you haven't seen it, you have to immediately go to the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. TomTom is the company that makes those GPSs, so you put it in your car so you don't get lost, and of course you have the option of just using the screen for the map, or you can have a voice walk you through the directions, or talk you through the directions even more accurately. And lately they've been starting to get a lot of celebrities involved. Why not, right? Go down the road, listen to the, you know, beautiful Kelsey Grammer giving you directions on how to go. Well, Darth Vader in the recording studio trying to do lay down his part for TomTom. Check it out.
TomTom, Darth Vader, take one.
At the end of the road, turn round.
Okay, I'm going to stop you. The line is at the end of the road, turn right.
That is what I said.
Take two.
At the end of the road, turn round. Please take the third exit on the roundabout.
It's roundabout.
Correct.
Is there any way you can make it sound a little less depressing?
Exit right ahead.
Don't force it.
And I love that James Earl Jones plays along with this nonsense. He's, you know, a phenomenal actor. He's got to be 70 or something, but he still obviously has a great sense of humor about that role. Yes. So very, very funny. And finally, on the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, you can find all these on the website as well as links to all of the past Internet Roundups that you might have missed. Just from this past Saturday night, Betty White was the host of SNL this year, and she is very much revered in the comedy community. And they did a very nice tribute to her on the program, where all of the cast members of Saturday Night Live and all of the special guests from this week, including, you know, Maya Rudolph and Tina Fey and Rachel Dratch and Amy Poehler, all the ones who had come back to kind of help co-host this episode with Betty, they sang "Thank You for Being a Friend to Her," which is not only a nice sentiment, but it's also kind of a throwback to the theme to the Golden Girls, the show that Betty White was on, right? Mm-hmm. So Betty White listens, and she's very sweet and very appreciative, but she's got a little bit of a problem with the way that they sing that song.
Oh, that was just lovely. But I think I prefer my version.
Two, three, four.
Thank you for being a friend. Come with me.
She's got the she puts the black ski mask on, and she's got the metal studs, and you see her kickboxing. Death metal, Betty White, right? She's bringing out a sword, and just starts, you know, cutting people. Oh, my God. See, because, Ralph, she's old,
see?
And they put her in situations that are not what you would associate with old people.
That's funny. I hope she said naughty things.
Yeah, she sure silly. Made a lot of sex jokes. Anyway, see Betty White going metal and all the other clips on this week's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean, later man.
Sublime on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, the world-famous K-Rock at 7:51. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, playing all bands on the Weenie Roast Bill, June 5th. It's a Saturday coming up at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater in Irvine, California. Sublime right there is one of the bands, Sublime with Rome, along with STP. Hole, Silver Sun Pickups, Devo. Come on.
Can I make a request? Paramore?
Yes.
Can we play some Nicolas Cage the Elephant?
Hey!
just Cage the Elephant, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, really? I was looking forward to Nicolas Cage the Elephant. I'm more of an elephant up here on stage.
That'd be a pretty good band.
That'd be good.
Spoon, Deftones, Paramore, Dirty Heads, Temper Trap, Passion Pit, Against Me. Unbelievable lineup once again this year. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at noon. Pre-sale Thursday. Head on over to the internet to get some details on how you can be among the first to buy them when they pre-sale on Thursday. All right. Jon Favreau joins us after the top of the hour to talk about his movie Iron Man 2. I suspect that's part of your showbiz beat as well, Ralph.
Nope.
Okay.
Not familiar with that work. No interest. That bomb. No one's going to see. Oh, wait a minute. It made $133.6 million this weekend.
Yay!
It's the fifth highest three-day opening for a motion picture ever.
How about that?
Beating out Shrek the Third. The other four are Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, New Moon, the Twilight movie, Spider-Man 3, inexplicably, and The Dark Knight, which still is the biggest three-day opening for a movie ever. But pretty good company, Iron Man 2.
And by the way, a lot of us, Ralph, I know you're going, Lisa, you're going, I'm going. Haven't even had a chance to go yet.
Didn't have a chance.
Yeah, a lot of box office still to come.
Bit of a sticky weekend with the kid in the hospital this weekend, so couldn't get away to the movies. But she's hanging there. Yeah, since I got a moment. Getting tons of emails still asking people asking how Libby's doing and what's going on with our baby in the hospital. And she's still in the intensive care unit. She will be for some time. Probably she won't be coming home until around June, I hope. But she's having some. She had some breathing issues over the weekend, so a little bit of a setback. But
she's a fighter, though, right?
She's a fighter,
a little scrapper.
We're trying to get that squared away, and hopefully this week we'll see a return to her getting bigger and stronger all the time. So,
were you also busy this weekend protecting her from Sharktopus? Was that part of your weekend,
too,
Ralph?
Yes. Sharktopus. We shot that on Friday, and I cannot wait to see the finished product.
Oh, me too.
Especially because I was co-starring with Miss USA 2004.
Oh, nice.
Shandy Finnessy.
She's unbelievable.
Who said, I can wear the jeans shorts, the real short ones, or I can just go in the bikini bottom.
Oh.
And I said, let's just do the bikini bottom.
Well, it's more appropriate on a boat, right?
Exactly. That would be better.
I don't want you to give too much away, but do we get an accent in this movie?
No accent, no.
Did you yell Sharktopus?
We can't ask that, Lisa.
I can't release that information, Lisa. That'd be a spoiler.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm under strict legal ramifications there.
Did you sew any people together into a big centipede?
Yes, that I did. I did sneak in a little human centipede action. Nightmare on Elm Street was second at the box office this week, and How to Train Your Dragon was third. Date Night, The Backup Plan, Furry Vengeance, which still sounds like a fake movie to me. I can't.
Armenian porn.
Starring Betty White.
Yeah. Clash of the Titans, Death at a Funeral, The Losers, and the documentary Babies rounding out your top 10 at the box office this week. And speaking of movies that I cannot wait to see, Vivid Entertainment, the adult film company, has announced that they hope to be releasing the Kendra Wilkinson sex tape at the end of the month.
I share their hope.
This is the sex tape that we heard Kendra was horrified and shocked that it had gotten out to the public. Then we found out 2 years ago, in 2008, she started her own company trying to sell the tapes herself to someone, but couldn't get a buyer. So that's why she's upset, because she's not going to make the money on this tape. Apparently, there are tapes, plural.
Yes.
Why wouldn't she make money, though?
Because she wasn't the one who made the deal. Someone else got a hold of this tape and sold it to Vivid.
This is always the question. Is that legal?
I suppose it depends on who's in the tape with her, and whether that person was the source or not. Here might be another problem, because besides being multiple tapes, apparently one of the tapes, she's with multiple partners.
Oh, yes.
Mm. Oh.
So I guess any one of those people could have a say-so in regarding who gets the tape, too. Wow.
Look, Vivid is a professional organization. They know how to do this legally.
Right. No, I know.
They're not going to release it if they can't.
It just confuses me.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, me too. I don't understand it either.
Later this month, they're saying.
Wow.
Oh, come on. Come on, Kendra.
There's all kinds of good out of a Kendra sex tape, because not only does she have an impossibly good body, I mean, just perfect.
Yeah.
But she strikes me as a party.
Mm-hmm.
This is not going to be one of these boring celebrity sex tapes that you kind of yawn through just to watch it.
And there's a very good likelihood that she will not be able to talk in the tape for whatever reasons, just because she's preoccupied with
something
else. Something
will prohibit her from laughing and talking.
See, that's what you don't want to hear during that tape.
But what would that be, Ralph, that would prevent her from...
I can't imagine. I'm just saying. I know people get busy when they make those tapes.
How has there never been a Hugh Hefner sex tape, Ralph?
I don't
just wouldn't
know.
Allow it. I'm sure.
I don't know. I'm guessing he probably doesn't tape himself.
Yeah.
But I would imagine that when you're having sex with that many women, that somebody would plan ahead and take care of the taping for you.
Let me tell you why. Because you usually make a sex tape or have the idea of making a sex tape because you want to film yourself with that partner so that you can go back and relive that because you like that partner so much.
Yeah.
When you the next day have an equally or better partner every single day of your life, you go, what do I need that tape for?
He doesn't need to live in the past.
No, certainly not. I was just thinking some of the girls you think might have taped it, you know, because it's
You think they want documentation of the fact they had sex with Hugh Hefner? Especially in the past 20 years or so.
Well, maybe not.
That old wrinkly
ass around. I don't think he wants to see that either.
Yeah, no one needs to see that. Not even me, and I love the half. This sounds horrible on every level.
What?
They're making a big budget, big screen version of the classic TV series Magnum P.I.
Uh-oh. Oh, really?
This has been in the hopper for some time, by the way. They've been working on this for some time. Certain actors and directors have been bandied about, and then people have been signed up to it. The most recent rumor was that George Clooney was interested in doing it. To which I said, okay, I can get behind that. Clooney has dropped out. And now...
What?
Who?
Say it.
Ashton Kutcher.
No.
You've got to be kidding me.
Has announced he is looking forward to growing a mustache.
No.
And taking on the role of Thomas Magnum, private investigator.
No! First of all, Magnum P.I. was a man, not a boy, first of all.
And second of all, you didn't.
Well, I mean, Ashton Kutcher still looks 20 years old. He can't play Magnum freaking P.I., right?
No.
And second of all, he's not nearly cool enough to play that role.
No, he is not. I'm quite disturbed by
Where's the gravitas?
Good gravitas. Today's celebrity birthdays. Bono of U2 is 50 years old today. Danny Carey is the drummer for Tool is 49. Eric Palladino.
Yeah, Eric.
He was on ER, very talented actor, 42 years old today. Richard Patrick of Filter. Robert Patrick is his actor brother who was the Terminator. Richard Patrick is 42 years old today. Kenan Thompson from Saturday Night Live is 32. Odette Yustman.
Oh, my God.
From Cloverfield and from Mike's Pants is 25 years old today.
It's surprisingly salty.
And Young MC. Can we bust a move?
Yes, we can.
Yeah!
And your stone cold munching. Music comes on, people start to dance. But then you ate so much, you nearly split your pants. A girl starts walking, guys start gawking. Sits down next to you and starts talking. Says she wanna dance cause she likes the groove. So come on, fatso, and just bust the move.
Oh, God, I love that.
People say whatever happened to Young MC, he is the quintessential artist who smoked it all away and was never able to get back in the studio.
But he had a cameo and Up in the Air with George Clooney.
That's right.
Sure did.
At that corporate event, he's up there rocking it.
That's right.
He's in yellow. She says, hello, come sit next to me, you fine fellow.
You run over there without a second to lose, because don't just stand there.
But the move.
There it is.
Yeah.
Nice, boys.
Mike and I will be at the Apollo Theater this weekend. Hope you check us out. Getting beaten up by black people. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Welcome back, Miss Courtney Love, on 106.7 K-Rock KROQ. It is 8:06. If you've never been able to see Hole in concert, you got your chance coming up on Saturday, June 5th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. One of the great bands on the bill for this year's Weenie Roast, along with Sublime, with Rome, STP, Silver Sun Pickups, Devo, Paramore, Deftones, and so much more. Get all the details at krock.com or kevinbean.com to buy your tickets later this week. Hey, Ralph, you're the movie guy. What happened to that? Remember that kid, John Favreau? He played Rocky Marciano in that Showtime
movie.
Yeah, I saw him in the Rocky Showtime movie, and then I saw him in Rudy, and never heard anything. He seemed like a talented young man. He just kind of fell off the face of the earth. What happened to that dude?
He had a horrible badminton accident where a shuttlecock was lodged, I believe, in his throat, and he could not cough it up.
Oh, you know what? Hold on. Producer Alex is giving me new information. Apparently, John Favreau is on the phone with us right now in the Kevin and Bean Show. I guess we were wrong.
What?
Hello.
Hey, John. How are you, man?
Hi, guys.
Hi, John.
Congratulations, Mr. Favreau.
A shuttlecock in the throat.
Yeah.
Well, it's a little early. I'm not sure. I came in halfway on that conversation. What's going on?
If someone hits a badminton racket, you know, really hard. That can happen. Sometimes your mouth's open while you're playing.
Obviously. Oh, is that it? Yeah. Highfalutin comedy. It went over my head.
You forgot how highbrow this program was, John. That's the problem there.
I did. How you guys doing?
Well, not as good as you.
Yeah, yeah. You are the happiest little girl in the whole USA today, aren't you, John?
You know what I'm happiest about? That I don't get to think about it. I have to go right into work today and get back to work. That's the true blessing.
What?
What are you
working on?
I'm working on Cowboys and Aliens. I'm doing with Daniel Craig and Harrison Ford. We're shooting this summer, so if you sit around and read everything and think about everything, it'll drive you nuts. So I'm very grateful that the fans showed up. I was happy to go out with Downey over the weekend and check out the theaters, and it was really fun to see the audience's response. But the biggest blessing is always just being able to keep doing what you're doing, and that's what this weekend afforded me. I'm very, very grateful.
I understand that's the mature attitude, and I don't know why you would say that, but I would think as hard as you worked on Iron Man 2 for the last 2 years of your life, to finally have it out there and be received so well, it seems like somebody ought to give you a vacation. Like, there ought to be some time off to enjoy it.
One would think, but that's when I tend to be the most miserable. I really like my job. I really do.
You always had a vision of a franchise when you started with Iron Man, I think.
Yeah,
but after
the
first movie was so great, I mean, even you, did you have any doubts that you're going to be able to make another one that would satisfy the fans because the first one just hit it out of the park so far?
Well, first we had to get the band back together. That was a whole thing that took a lot of months, you know, to work all that out. And that was an uncomfortable period because we were, you know, chomping at the bit to get started. But once we pulled it together, we were just having so much fun coming up with all the different ideas of what we could do that, you know, we had hoped that the fans would like it and that the audiences would receive it. But, you know, we didn't know, but we definitely were pleasing ourselves every step of the way.
With the huge box office, this is Jon Favreau on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about the $130 million-plus that it made over the weekend just domestically. A lot of people are pointing out, hey, imagine how much more it would have made if it had been in 3D. Was there ever any talk along the Iron Man 2 timeline that it might be a 3D movie?
Yeah, I mean, that was hitting, if you recall, you know, 3D takes a while to do. To do it right, you really have to shoot in 3D. That was never an option because 3D... Nobody even talked about 3D until Avatar, and then Alice in Wonderland and even Clash of the Titans started changing the business model. It would have meant turning the movie over early and post-converting, which doesn't look great, and would have probably led to an inferior film, though we would have collected more money per ticket at the box office. So it wasn't something I was comfortable with. It wasn't very realistic, but I do like 3D a lot. But if I were to do 3D, I would shoot in 3D.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But as a filmmaker, though, you're intrigued by it, interested enough to think about doing a movie that way one day?
Oh, yeah. I've been testing the gear out because we're discussing whether or not we want to do it on the next film. I know Marvel's looking into it for their movies, but for me personally on Cowboys and Aliens, we're looking into what the gear could hold up to because we're shooting out in the desert, which has never been done before with this type of gear. But I love watching movies in 3D that are well done in 3D. I think it's very... It's very captivating.
For those who don't know, Cowboys and Aliens is also another great comic book property that John will be directing. Are you kind of the go-to guy now for comic book movies for these big adventure films, John?
I think there's definitely an appetite for comics, although I wouldn't put it in the same category as Iron Man.
No,
because Iron Man is something where the comic book is where people know it from. Cowboys and Aliens was something that the comic book was written after the script was written, I believe.
Right.
It's not the same type of property, but I think graphic novels are really a cool way to find new properties because they're so visual, and it doesn't take a lot of imagination to see the potential in those stories.
I can't imagine Iron Man without Robert Downey Jr. As great as all the other elements are, including your participation, John, it seems like there's almost never been a character who's been better suited for an actor as this one is for him.
Yeah, I really think that my biggest contribution was putting him in the role. I think that was a moment of profound vision that I've been really enjoying the benefits and the fruits of for the last 4 years. And not just because of his talent, but he's just a tremendously gracious guy and a great friend. And
super.
We were through a big journey together because we both earned our stripes on this. And he got my back a lot. I got his back a lot. And we're both very proud of what we've been able to do.
Is the character on hold now, John, until the Avengers movie? Is that the plan, as far as you know?
No, he's not in Thor. He's not in Cap, which are the two movies for next summer. It'll be very interesting to see how the Marvel Universe branches off. And, you know, all of those movies are going to be taken into account for the Avengers in 2 years.
Right.
I'm not sure where the Avengers goes. It's not... You know, there's no shooting draft written yet. it's going to be a big undertaking for Marvel to actually incorporate what happened in Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America, the Hulk.
Right.
All of that has to inform one unified vision in the Avengers, and it's a very exciting prospect, and certainly Tony Stark is not going to be involved in any of the movies until that one, so so I would say yes, you're right.
So $133 million box office over the weekend. And I know, I think, in my opinion, people are way too focused on opening weekends. I know that it makes headlines and stuff. But a movie like yours is going to be in theaters all summer long and is going to continue to make money. But how does it work with something like that? I mean, do you have an expectation, a number at which you're disappointed if it only makes? Or do they put a lot of pressure on you to promote it to the point where they can guarantee a certain number? Or what's the deal with that, John?
It's, you know, a lot of it is voodoo. Really, there's no real math to bear out that. There's a million things that enter into that equation. You know, part of it's promotion. Part of it is whether it's 3D or IMAX. A big part of it, too, we opened up a week early overseas, and piracy is rampant. And so who knows how much that takes away, or the value of the dollar overseas, the value of foreign currencies. I don't really get caught up in all of that. It's like, is it really that different if you make, you know, literally $5 million more? Does that make you disappointed or not disappointed because you didn't cross another film? That's another thing. There's always the basis of comparison of other of other movies. And there's a lot of talk about, oh, are they going to be Dark Knight? Dark Knight made like 158, which is astounding when you think about it. And so, you know, there are people who do this for a living that get very hung up on who's number one. For me, my big thing is I don't want to bomb. I don't want to lose money. I don't want to disappoint people. I'm happy we did better than the last film.
Yeah.
And to me, that was my own private little, you know, high watermark. But I don't get caught up in that stuff, fortunately. I get more caught up in the creative side of things. I was very happy that we had a cinema score, which is when they poll people that come out of an A. And for people under 18, it was A+, which meant that the people who saw the movie liked it. And it had legs over the weekend. And you don't want to just open big and then disappoint people. The real satisfaction comes from having a lot of people see it multiple times. They enjoy it. They tell their friends. That means we did a good job.
And you get to work again. That's good news, too.
Sorry?
And you get to work again,
which is good news. And I get to work again, which is still this looming, you know, fear that comes from coming up as an actor when
exactly.
you don't know where your next gig is coming from.
Yeah.
Well, you nailed it. The bottom line is make a good movie, and then the rest takes care of itself. John Favreau, congratulations on Iron Man 2, and a special thanks to you. I know how incredibly busy you are these days, but you always make time for a few minutes on The Kevin Bean Show. We go back, you know, 15 years or
many years
at this point. So.
Many years. Yeah, yeah. Thank you for, thanks for being in my corner. It means a lot to me.
You bet, man. Have a great day. Congratulations, John.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
Yeah, man.
Big of bottles, cook right on doors. Hit me with shaking the dread. We come down the island style. Bo, 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 bo.
All right, Rihanna and Dr. Murray. No need for that. It's 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q, 825. If you like that band, The Dirty Heads, and you want to see them, we got a chance for you to do just that on June 5th. That is an upcoming Saturday at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater in Irvine, California. By the way, everywhere across this great country of ours, including the Midwest, including the South, where you hear The Kevin and Bean Show, you can buy tickets for the show if you want to get out here for it. It's worth it. Sublime with Rome, STP, Hole, Silver Sun Pickups, Devo, Paramore, Deftones, Spoon, Chevelle, Cage the Elephant, The Dirty Heads, Against Me, The Temper Trap, and Passion Pit. Unbelievable lineup. Tickets go on sale Saturday at noon. Exclusive presale this Thursday. Get all the details at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. All right. It's Kevin and Bean Show here. It's too bad that our man Kevin is not with us because he was very passionate about this topic that he knew we were going to be talking about today. In fact, he has just put up a post at kevinandbean.com from his sickbed.
Oh.
The headline,
wow.
The headline says it all.
I see. Healthy enough to post, not healthy enough to be on the radio. I understand that. I see how he rolls. Okay.
Well, I think hitting a button on your laptop is maybe a little easier than getting dressed, driving in your car, and
you don't know
talking
Kevin
for 5 hours.
You do not know Kevin.
Here's the headline, and I think it does a great job of laying out Kevin's position on this very controversial topic. In fact, this is something that the new Supreme Court nominee is going to have to rule on before she even gets confirmed by the Senate. That's what a hotbed of controversy this subject is. Victoria's Secret new push-up bra makes breasts appear 2 cup sizes larger.
Yum.
False advertising? I don't care. That's what Kevin says.
See?
He doesn't care that women lie.
Of course he doesn't care.
Great point.
He's not going to sleep with those women. He just wants to look at them.
Great point, Kevin. Point for Kevin.
Absolutely.
The new Victoria's Secret bra is called the Bombshell. Here's the commercial telling you what it will do for you, ladies.
Hello, Bombshell. Victoria's Secret's new miraculous push-up instantly adds 2 cup sizes. Baby. So get ready to turn heads, baby, and get used to the attention. Looking good, Bombshell.
Je veux être dans le top de justice.
Add 2 cup sizes with the miraculous push-up. Only at Victoria's Secret. Hello, Bombshell.
Oh, God damn it. I love women with British accents.
I do too, by the way. And that's not fake, though, because she really is British and really does have that accent. The Bombshell is, I have to call BS on walking around with, hey, look at these. Oh, I'm sorry. I just lied.
What's wrong with you?
Wrong.
First of all, you will never know whether they're fake or real.
Exactly.
You particularly, Bean, because you will never get to a stage where you will discover the truth about a woman like that. You will just look from a distance and say, yum, and then go about your merry way.
Yeah, you can just enjoy it.
You would never uncover the treasures beneath because you have no game.
So you don't care about human rights violations around the world as long as they don't affect you, right?
Hold the phone. Human rights violations.
Go ahead and stone people in Islam. As long as it's not you, you don't care. You just look the other way because it's not your problem.
I'm not sure I see the connection.
Yeah, there is none.
Listen, women wearing a bra.
This is what happens. Girls will buy these.
Yes, okay.
Women will buy these and wear them all over the place, in the streets and in malls and in theaters and things. And everywhere you go, women will be wearing these. And they'll look big. The breasts will look bigger.
And you know what else they'll do? They'll buy low-cut tops.
To show off their newly big breasts. And here's the thing. If they didn't have that option, Bean, then all these girls would be walking around looking 2 cups smaller.
Right.
And everywhere you go.
And probably covered up.
Yeah, but then you'd know who the good girls are and the bad girls are.
So what difference does it make?
This is just eye candy for you.
First of all, I'm terrified that Psycho Mike is coming to my defense because now I have to rethink my entire position.
Don't you want someone in your corner, dude?
I guess I do, but not you. Could it be anyone else? Look, maybe I'm not going to be nailing these broads, okay?
Maybe.
But I got to look out for those that do, like, I don't know, the King of Mexico, for instance. I don't want the King of Mexico to think, oh, there's the next Mrs. King, and then get her home and find out that she's, you know, Flatty McNoBoobs.
So you would rather they don't airbrush women in magazines to make them look amazing.
Should women not wear makeup because when you wake up with them the next morning, they don't look like when you took them home?
No,
you say you're outlawing makeup too, right? That's false advertising.
That's the same. I think this would be more like, and I bet ladies would agree if it were in reverse, if they were out at the beach and they saw a bunch of guys running around in their Speedos looking like they were packing, and then they find out it's just, you know, they're just stuffing it with newspaper.
Look,
I think they would be equally disappointed.
Our lives as women are, we don't know until you take your pants off.
Right.
We have to live with that.
Right.
We have no idea.
And now it'll be the same.
So now it's even.
Now it's an even playing field.
No, but on the way to getting the pants off, women, you know, they use other things to kind of like vet out the dudes, like how much money he makes, what he has for a living, what type of person he is as a human being. And if he was lying about all those things, it would be unfair. What if I came
to men do all the time?
I know, but that's wrong.
True.
And it's wrong.
No,
and it's just as wrong.
You act like you're a decent human being all the time, and then they find out afterwards that you're really you have the soul of the Grinch.
That hurts because I've been very honest to most people that I'm morally reprehensible and have a small penis. And what if I were to go to a bar dressed in scrubs and pretending that I'm a doctor and had a kielbasa packed in my tight jeans? Then women are going to think that I have a big wiener, I make a lot of money, and that I'm a good dude. Little do they know they get me home and I'm none of those things. It's the same thing for a woman who shows up at the mall or wherever looking like she has breasts and like God cares about her. And then you get home and you take them off and you realize that she's flat chested and she should be killed.
We all do whatever we can to attract the opposite sex and we know what works. So when men lie about their success, they're doing it because they know that that's interesting to women. Men look at women's boobs. We know that. So anything that we can do, a lower cut top, a bra that pushes things up a little, just to get a little attention. What's the big deal?
I'm not saying that it's wrong to wear something that's flattering. I'm fine with that. But this bombshell goes too far in that it's two cup sizes. It needs some sort of a warning label that says objects may be smaller than they appear. Just so you know, there needs to be some sort of consumer protection.
You're selling a lie. You're selling a lie.
Push-up bras for
all
20 years.
All fashion is lies.
Yes, exactly.
It's just something you use to catch people's attention. So
I don't
like you
like
act
it.
Straight to get women. I mean, that, what could be a bigger lie than that? That you pretend to be heterosexual.
I agree, but I'm saying that I'm not going around walking around to people that don't see me or talk to me, wearing a shirt that says, "Look at me, I've got all this going on
Here's
for me." And that's
truth.
Exactly what you're doing.
You know
with
what
this.
You do?
No matter how much game you have, you are going to have sex with less women than you would not have sex with. You know
right.
what I mean? The number of women you're going to be able to bed versus the number of women who are out there. You're going to get a small, tiny percentage of that pool.
Right.
If the rest of the women all look great walking around in their bombshell bras, then you get to look at that. You get the visual appreciation of that fact.
I don't deserve.
If you don't mind living in a world where lies win. If you don't mind that. If you don't.
Beans right.
What are you going to spit on the American flag next, Ralph? Is that what's coming up after you? After this? I mean, seriously.
I don't deserve to put a lie in my spank bank. That's not right.
You
That's
do rough. Every time you look at one of these models that's been airbrushed and shot in a certain way and taped and pulled and the cellulite's been removed digitally and you look at one of those pictures. That's a lie.
So you're destroying more of my dreams. Thanks.
All right, I'm just trying to wake you up.
We need to pause
you
it there and then get to your phone calls. Your homework is to go to kevinandbean.com. Check out Kevin's post. Victoria's Secret new push-up bra makes breasts appear two cups larger. False advertising, I don't care. That's what Kevin says. He's wrong. That's why he's not on the show anymore. What do you think? 1-800-520-1067. Your call's right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. See him at the K-Rock Weenie Roast on June 5th, Silver Sun Pickups. Details at krock.com, 106.7 KROQ. It's 8:43. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hear my whole thing.
One day, if you're a girl, you look in the mirror, and there they'll be. Mm-hmm. Instead of a flat chest,
right.
Two bumps.
Or maybe not.
These are the beginnings of your breasts.
Yes.
And they're not there just to look pretty. They're useful, too.
And if they don't develop, Victoria's Secret has you covered because they've got a new product called the Bombshell that adds two cup sizes.
Yes.
Bogus.
And then you will look hot.
Yeah.
Because your boobs will look big and you'll great in clothes and men will think about your naughty parts.
You and they'll will be actually take the time to get to know you, perhaps.
No.
You will be a constant disappointment to every man that you talk to. All right. Let's take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, let's start with Holly. Holly is on line 6. You're surprised to be hearing from a woman here who may agree with me. Holly, am I right? Are you on my side here, baby?
Absolutely. I totally 100% agree with you.
All right. Tell me why.
I was a stripper, and when I was stripping, there was a beautiful girl, absolutely gorgeous, as flat as a boy. She used to wear a bustier that made her boobs appear that they were larger.
Mm-hmm.
Never took her bra off on stage. Every time she went to go do a dance for somebody at $40 a dance, she took her bra off, and the guys were pissed. I mean, they were like so upset because
well,
she had no boobs.
They're paying for it.
Yeah, her job
that's
is
a
to sell
different.
Her body. That is different.
That's the perfect example of false advertising. I didn't even think about what this is going to do to the stripper industry. That guy had every right to be disappointed and want his money back when he goes to the other room and it's not what he thought it was on stage.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but we're talking about a business.
Right.
Now.
It's a business regardless. When you're walking down the street, you're still selling yourself.
Yeah, I mean, that guy's
turns
making
out I'm not.
You and your friends are.
It's an analogy for life because
really
when you're walking
not.
Down the street, Lisa May, you're going to entice guys to come up and ask you out on a date on the based on how you look. And what happens when he takes you out on that date? He spends however amount of money on dinner and a movie or whatever. He takes
really?
You home, so takes those off.
The only reason I ever
don't
try to look good.
On a date. That's what you do.
Because I need a date?
Yes.
Really?
Or
she's
attention. Still got that fine ass, though.
You know, Lisa May's got a grade A
well,
boot cutter.
There
There's no doubt about it.
Can
okay,
we not call it that?
We're getting off topic here. Holly, my dear, especially when we have strippers call the show, we're very grateful. So thank you so much. Let's try it. Let's get someone on who agrees with
let's
Ralph.
Let's talk to someone who's not a whore.
Yeah, okay.
How about Al? Al on line 5. He agrees with Ralph, so he's wrong, but let's hear him feebly try to defend himself. Hi, Al. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Morning. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Okay, first of all, this bra is going to be a godsend because girls are going to go out and get boob jobs. They're going to see how good they look in larger breasts. They're going to see how their clothes fit. They're going to see how much attention they get.
Yep.
And they're all going to go, well, not all. Most of them are going to go out and get boob jobs because these girls are the ones that are on the fence. They don't know whether they get a boob job or not to get a boob job.
And that's going to push him over. It'll be like a training wheels for a boob job.
But Al,
exactly.
Al, don't you feel like maybe it might deter them from getting a boob job because they figure they can do the same thing for $40 by buying this bra?
Yeah, but they're going to want to look like that all the time in all different types of clothes. Not all clothes that women wear, they can wear a bra with.
Right, and they're going to look like that naked, too.
Okay.
So they will get boob implants.
Now you're on to something.
Well,
I mean,
I'm uncomfortable with this reasoning.
That at least
is
a positive.
We're heading in the right direction, guys. We're heading in the right direction.
All
make
right.
The world a better place.
All right. Excellent call Al. Thank you so much.
I kind of hate men.
We'll leave it there. We're also got the showbiz beat when we return on the Kevin and Bean. Ralph, is Whip It good?
Oh, Whip It real good.
There's Devo at 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. It's 8:54. You're wondering, hey, why am I hearing Devo on the Kevin and Bean Show? It's because they are on the bill for this year's Weenie Roast, which is coming up on June the 5th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, Irvine, California. We look forward to going down there every summer. Great lineup this year. Just announced early this morning, if you missed it, Sublime with Rome, STP, Hole, Silver Sun Pickups, Devo, Paramore. Paramore and the Deftones, by the way, coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. They're both playing the show. And a bunch more
Paramore.
Bands. You can get all the details
I love the Deftones.
KRock.com or KevinandBean.com. And details especially on how to buy your tickets. It's Ralph Garman. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Iron Man did pretty well for itself this weekend as we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Made $133.6 million in its debut weekend.
That's all.
Good enough to make it number one. Last week on Friday, Kevin and I were speculating how much it was going to make. We said, $80 would be a good weekend for that.
Yeah, big weekend, right.
Yeah. Monster. Nightmare on Elm Street, How to Train Your Dragon, Date Night, The Backup Plan, Furry Vengeance, Clash of the Titans, Death at a Funeral, The Losers, and Babies. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Someone has seen the new documentary that Joaquin Phoenix has been working on, along with his friend Casey Affleck, for the past couple of years. Yeah. Joaquin Phoenix, of course, famously said he was denouncing his acting career, walking away from it because he wanted to be a rapper.
Right.
So he grew a modest Yahoo beard and started wearing sunglasses everywhere and acting like a general douchebag. All the time, Casey Affleck was following him with a film crew, saying what he was making was a documentary about this artist's transformation. And now it has been seen. I'm Still Here, The Lost Year of Joaquin Phoenix. And no one will distribute it.
Oh, no.
What?
The problem is, they don't know whether it's a joke or not. They don't know how to market it.
Mm. It might be genius, then.
It's filled with scenes. This is according to PerezHilton.com. Of Joaquin snorting cocaine, ordering call girls, engaging in sexual activities with a publicist, abusing his assistants, and includes full male frontal nudity, and
tough sell.
Defecation.
DJ Marcon.
That's a tough. That's a tough sell for someone to distribute that movie.
Yeah,
if I had money, I'd distribute it.
Of course you would.
Yes. Got everything Psycho Mike likes.
I was not alive then, but wasn't that the genius behind Andy Kaufman? Was that a lot of times you really didn't know if it was a gag or if it was real?
Well, that was his shtick, yeah. I mean, there are still people to this day who believe he's still alive and this is all an elaborate prank on his fans.
Yeah, but he was always in the context of entertainment. Like, he would wrestle women.
Right.
When professional wrestling was just starting to get a groundswell of popularity, he would get into a ring and wrestle women, and he would be all abusive to them and everything. And everyone didn't know at that point what was really going on. But it had the sense of theater to it. Mm-hmm. I guess this kind of does, too, since Phoenix has been performing in front of people, but...
It's so weird, though. This isn't a prank by a Pauly Shore or somebody who's got nothing else to offer. Joaquin Phoenix is a great actor. I mean, go back a couple of years and see his Oscar-nominated performance in Gladiator, and you go, how does this guy not have a huge career today? How do you walk away from that and become Modest Yahoo?
True.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. But maybe someday we'll all get to see the cinematic evidence of what's going on with him. Jennifer Aniston and Adam Sandler are working together a new film called Just Go With It. How bad is that movie going to be? All you need to know is Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston, romantic comedy. Boom.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm finished.
Don't see that.
They have a bet going on the set, apparently, according to Star Magazine. They have both learned the art of making lays, and whoever makes the best lay wins their bet.
That's in real life, or that's the plot of the movie?
No, that's in real life. That isn't the plot of the movie. I would actually go to see that movie. But no, they are busy making lays on the set while they're in between shots, and whoever makes the best lay wins the bet.
Jesus. Oh. Can't learn to shut up, can you?
No. And Will Smith is jumping on the 3D bandwagon. We were talking to Jon Favreau just moments ago about 3D filmmaking, and apparently the new Men in Black sequel is going to be in 3D. Now, that is a movie that would really benefit, I think.
That
makes
be
sense.
Cool.
Yeah. Apparently, they're in negotiations with Tommy Lee Jones to return.
Yeah.
No, that's Tommy Lee. Yeah. Tommy Lee Jones is the actor. No Country for Old Men.
I'm sorry. Ringing you lost a bell. Me.
To return as his partner, and Josh Brolin may sign up as a new Men in Black to perform in the show.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's very encouraging.
It makes you happy.
Less encouraging is the news that Ashton Kutcher is in talks to play Magnum P.I. in the big screen version of that classic 80s TV series.
Do not say that.
Stop smoking crack!
Word is, he's also asking for his wife, Demi Moore, to have a role in the movie as well.
Higgins?
She could play Higgins.
I'm fine with Demi Moore being in the movie.
Magnum. I loved Higgins. Magnum.
But not Ashton Kutcher. Please let that not be true. Come on.
For those
she
of
play
us,
TC.
For those out there
Come
who
on,
don't
Magnum.
Know the character, didn't Magnum really embody machismo and masculinity and playboy ethic?
Tom Selleck, 6'4", strapping, muscular, former collegiate volleyball playing, mustachioed Tom Selleck.
So Ashton Kutcher, not that. Okay.
Ashton Kutcher, dork, doofus, camera commercials, punk and 70s show doofus.
So you like him?
Yeah, he'd be good in it, I think. Today's celebrity birthdays. Bono of U2 is 50 years old today. Danny Carey of Tool is 49 years old today. Eric Palladino ER is 42 years old. Richard Patrick of Filter is also 42. Kenan Thompson from Saturday Night Live is 32 years old today. Odette Yustman.
Oh, my God.
Celebrates her 25th birthday. And rapper Young MC is 43 years old today. We don't have time for it, but in the next hour when we talk about birthdays, we definitely will be busting a move, yo.
Word.
You know. I'm Ralph Garman. That's how I roll.
Why are they so good, huh? Deftones, 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. Change in the House of Flies, one of the bands on the bill for the K-Rock Weenie Roast. Go to K-Rock.com for all the details. It's 9:08. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, and I had an unusual, this is Bean speaking, I had a very unusual weekend, and then I had a visitor to the farm this weekend. Ralph, I think you know I don't often put the drawbridge down and let people over the moat.
Yes, nor does anyone really want to see you. So it's a two-way street, really, there.
Yeah, the combination of both of those things means I don't have very many visitors. But a former producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, way back in the day, Lightning, decided to come up and see me. In recent years, he's been the guy, the genius behind running the website. You can catch all of his work at kevinandbean.com. But he decided to come up and spend some time with me over the weekend. I think we had a really nice time. Of course, Lightning couldn't say anything else while he was here. But now that he's back in Southern California and joins us in the studio, I think we'll find if he really had a good time or not. Hey, Light, how are you?
I'm good. And you know what? I did. I had a great time. Bean's a fantastic host, surprisingly enough.
What's wrong
it takes
with
it
you?
How about that? But he does.
How about that? Lie and lie and lie and lie.
Well, he is good. He's good.
Hold on, time out. Let's back up a little bit. So you get a weekend free, and you decide you want to go someplace. How does it possess you in a million years? Say, oh, I'm going to go spend some time with Bean on Funky Island.
You know, boy, since like 2000, I've wanted to go up there.
Why?
And I just haven't had a chance.
Why?
I had been through Seattle on the 5 freeway and never stopped, and it looked beautiful. And from what I understand, Bean's got a cool, you know, spread up there, and he had a spare room, and sounded like a good plan.
So it was like a cheap thing. It was like a thrift thing.
No, I didn't mean to make it. No.
All
so you didn't have to go to the Super 8 motel. You could just crash in downtown.
No, we had people over. We had a cookout, Ralph, which you may not expect in my house, but we actually did have a cookout on Friday night. And Saturday, I took Lightning up to the Space Needle.
Grill some fava beans, or did you put some asparagus on the grill? What kind of grill do you have at the barbecue at your house? Not
salmon.
Even meat.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
that
blows. He's got his manslave, his friend Marty, that made up some awesome salmon, and some friends came over. Which Bean,
grab me one of them pigs. I'm gonna have a barbecue.
I gotta say,
oink oink.
I gotta say, so we're on the ferry, and I've got some stuff planned for tonight, and I'm shocked. What's Bean got planned?
Oh,
and
Jesus.
It turns out that he has some quote unquote friends coming over. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Are they freaks from the island? Or
no.
No, they're
his elderly quilting bee friends.
No, it turns out it's just Donna's friends.
Oh, okay.
Oh, of course.
Right.
It's true that it was a small dinner party of about 10 or so, and half the people were over age 70. That is true. That's how I roll.
Sweet Jesus.
But it doesn't mean they weren't nice people and a lot of fun to hang out with. And one of the guys was a fellow car enthusiast who, you know, Lightning is as well, so they had a lot in common. So.
Oh, his friend Dick, the neighbor across the street, Dick, and his wife, Laura, they are awesome. What are they? What'd you say, being they're in their, like, late 70s, 80s?
They're in their 70s. Yeah, they're mid-70s.
This guy is awesome. He, like, got his pinky ripped off and he put it back on, and so just like he's that really gruff guy, and
this
turns out
like
he has
a museum of human oddities.
Oh,
up
yeah
there.
He's got a crazy like 40 acres across the street, and he's got just cars for, he makes like Jay Leno's collection look like,
no kidding,
yeah, like a Matchbox, you know.
So I very thoughtfully invited Dick to join us for the barbecue, knowing that, you know, Lightning would be interested in talking to him about stuff like that. So I mean, I tried to cater the weekend's activities to stuff that I thought Lightning would enjoy.
And you know what a huge baseball fan he is, so you took him to a Mariners game. Oh, wait a minute, Lightning hates baseball.
Well, but they were playing the Angels, and that was a highlight for me to watch the Angels.
Orange County, Core.
Stomp his Mariners.
Core, bok choy, fedora, hoodie.
Lightning, most people only hear the guy's impressions of what it must be like up at my house and on the island. Since you've actually been here, this may be a good opportunity for me to clear my name. And by the way, you can go to kevinandme.com and see a fantastic photo collection of shots that Lightning took on his visit to Seattle over the weekend, if you want to see my house and all that kind of stuff. But Donna's not in the basement, right? She's actually out walking around like a regular person, right?
She is.
Flipping your notes, saying, help me, help me.
Without question, she is the glue that keeps Bean's life together. I think you knew that just, you know, from talking to, but you actually see it in action. Bean is just walking around, kind of wandering all the, like, thinking he knows what's going on.
Keeps him connected to the human race.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. But their house is fantastic. I mean, of course, it's clear that Bean would be a mess, just a ridiculous mess without, you know, without this glue. Yeah. And so it's well decorated, you know, everything's put together.
You see
and
the naked O.J. Simpson's picture?
I have photos on kevinandbean.com of, yeah, the little black boy that Bean took a picture of in the elevator, the really awkward situation that Kevin's embarrassed of. I've got the O.J. picture.
Good.
I've got,
Christmas tree.
So there's Christmas tree
It's a great little photo gallery that he put together.
But his house is like just oddities everywhere.
Oh,
every
what a shock.
Single
wow.
every the John Wayne Gacy painting to like there's a huge like horse about the size of one you'd ride on the carousel, but it's split in two and the entrails are coming out. And inside is like a little toy land inside the bowels of the horse. It's very strange. And there's a lot of like
surprise. The Bean's got creepy things in his house.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yes, but at night, in the middle of the night,
so
you don't really want
to
be walking
Manson,
around that
but
house.
You don't want to be a share a cell with him.
I locked my door. I will say that in
wait, you locked your door?
When you went to bed?
I did.
I don't blame you.
So under the bed that I was sleeping on, there's a trap door. And I'm scared. I don't know where it went, but it
you don't need to know where it goes. You don't need to know where it goes.
How could you not pull that bed away and
the
open that trap door?
It was a massive bed, and I looked under there, and there was obviously a trap door. And I swear to God, I didn't want to know where it went.
You're crazy. Well, how on earth could he not have looked in there?
I had to sleep there.
Because he knew in the middle of the night he'd find out.
You know how many gagged children are down there begging for you to save them?
Look, Lightning could, again, go to kevinandme.com and check out the photo gallery. Lightning could have opened the trap door, but he wouldn't be here talking to us. He'd actually be part of a human centipede right now.
By the way, he wouldn't stop talking about human centipede at the freaking dinner. And these people are like, I'm going to barf. Don't. This one woman is like, please, Bean. He's like, okay. So what they do is they sew people to, she's like, stop it.
Yeah, it was great.
But we can take away one thing that from your dinner time that you love Dick.
Who's he? I love Dick.
Dick and Laura, you mean. The guy who loves Dick.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Weenie Rose when Sublime is singing their very popular rape songs for the crowd. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that.
And the kids.
All right. Time for one more look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Turns out people wanted to see Betty White host Saturday Night Live.
What?
I did.
The Facebook campaign, of course, got a lot of attention, and the 88-year-old actress was finally given her shot this weekend. Ratings were up 66%.
Wow.
Last time they were this strong is when John McCain was on and Tina Fey was doing her impression of Sarah Palin. So it's been a while, but a lot of people tuned in.
They had a lot of momentum back before the presidential election, I guess. That's when they were having all those political sketches. That makes a lot of sense. But Betty White, by the way, I know you didn't see the show, Ralph.
No, I did not.
The class of the room. I mean, so professional and so much better at doing that sort of material than lots of the young hosts that they, you know, that they have on that are stars today.
Well, she's been an actress for a long time.
Yeah.
60 years.
Here's here's one line from the monologue from Saturday Night Live, Miss Betty White.
I just can't believe I am hosting Saturday Night Live. I have so many people to thank for being here, but I really have to thank Facebook. When I first heard about the campaign to get me to host Saturday Night Live, I didn't know what Facebook was. And now that I do know what it is, I have to say, it sounds like a huge waste of time.
You're right about that, Danny.
It is, yeah. Take a look at the top 10 movies of the box office, as we do every Monday morning. Iron Man 2 did pretty well in its debut. I mean, four other movies have opened larger, so it's not so great.
In the history of cinema in this country.
Brad or anything.
$133.6 million made it number one at the box office by far. All the other movies shared a little piddling piece of the pie. Nightmare on Elm Street was 2, and it made a little over $9 million, just to give you some perspective. How to Train Your Dragon, Date Night, The Backup Plan, Furry Vengeance, Clash of the Titans, Death at a Funeral, The Losers, and the new documentary Babies, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. It looks like assault charges and drug addiction really didn't put a dent in Jenna Jameson and Tito Ortiz's relationship. Pictures are on TMZ.com of the couple kissing and cuddling last Friday in Huntington Beach, California. So it looks like all is forgiven. Aww. All the beatings and the drug addiction. I was just, nothing we can't handle.
That's not good, right?
I don't know. Is it not good because they do have these problems and they're getting together again? Or is it not good because they were lying about that stuff about each other initially?
You know? Yeah, those are both bad scenarios. I mean, I didn't like the looks of those bruises all over Jenna's arms, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I would see something else all over Jenna's arms, you know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean.
Like bracelets and sleeves.
Sleeves.
It's surprisingly salty.
Kendra Wilkinson, speaking of sexy dames, she pretended to be shocked by the news that she's about to be the star of a new sex tape, but apparently 2 years ago, she herself was hawking these same sex tapes, looking for someone to distribute them for her.
Oh my, Kendra, you do have a terrific vagina.
Her production company, Home Run Productions, and apparently the people who she was pitching it to back in 2008 said she had several such tapes, including one tape with multiple partners.
Okay, hello.
Now Vivid Entertainment has the tapes, not from Kendra. That was not the source, but they do have them, and they plan to sell these tapes by the end of the month. We believe this could be our all-time best-selling celebrity tape.
Yeah.
Vivid says.
I agree.
I want to see it. I absolutely want to see it.
Rape me.
What?
Is there any interest in The Doors anymore?
New documentary. I hear great things about that documentary that's in theaters now. People say it's amazing.
New documentary will appear on PBS this week. If you want to check out that new documentary about The Doors, it's part of the network's American Masters series, and it's using, according to the producers, a ton of previously unseen footage. If you're a Doors fan, you might want to check it out. Johnny Depp narrates. Apparently, he's a big fan, so you can look for it Wednesday night on PBS, your local affiliate, so you can check it out.
Interviews with all the members of the band and other people around them, and a friend of mine was listening to the soundtrack the other day, Ralph. And I said, if The Doors had never existed and they came out today as a new band, even with the 40 years that have happened since they were popular, they would still blow people's minds with how good they were.
Yeah,
they really would. They're still that good.
Absolutely. This stuff has aged really well. Compared to a lot of stuff from the 60s, it really holds up. And do the words Knievel and Snake River Canyon ring any bells?
Hells, yeah. I get the reference, sure.
This was an event in 1974 where a legendary daredevil named Evel Knievel, who was mostly known for his motorcycle jumps, decided he was going to shoot across the Snake River Canyon in Idaho in a rocket. Did not get so far over the canyon as he did plummet down into the mouth of the canyon. Well, Robbie Knievel, his son, has announced he plans to repeat that task and to make good where his father failed all those years ago.
You know, Robbie Knievel's not nearly as cool as his dad was,
nope.
But he has done some pretty impressive stuff as a stunt motorcyclist in recent years.
Well, he's the captain. That's why. Because, you know, his father, I don't think, was an officer. But Robbie is the captain.
And I don't necessarily agree. Now, I'm not any expert in, you know, motorcycle riding. But you see the guy do jumps over, say, like something at Caesar's Palace, and he gets 20 feet off the ground and jumps over something at Caesar's Palace. Any of the major freestyle motocross riders will do that jump times two plus a Superman grab and a backflip. You know, so it's not really
that's
like nowadays that's all that impressive in comparison to where the sport's progressed. You know, Evil used to do that on a Harley.
I'm saying.
Fresh off the rack.
Evil used to do street bike racing.
I mean, it was
jumps.
Unbelievable what he'd do.
No special shock absorbers, no anything like that. He would just take a street bike and go over the fountains at Caesar's Palace and come down and bounce like a rag doll for 100
insane.
Feet. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Hey! Jesus Christ, you're my Lord and Savior, man!
Thank you, Robbie.
Do we have that clip I was talking to him about being the captain?
I sure hoped we did when you brought it up, I'll tell you that. But I
sure hoped for it, too.
What service is it that you are a captain in? What makes you the captain, Robbie Knievel?
Yeah, he's crazy. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Odette Yestman.
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness.
Not a pretty name, and yet she makes up for it with that face and that body and that her-ness.
Oh, my God.
She's 25 years old today. Kenan Thompson. Saturday Night Live star is 32. Richard Patrick of Filter is 42 years old today. Eric Palladino.
Yeah, Eric.
Celebrates his 42nd birthday. Danny Carey of Tool, the drummer for that band, is 49. Bono of U2 celebrates his 50th birthday today. But the reason we're excited about birthdays today, the reason we've been celebrating all day long, Young MC, hit it!
Serving your stone cold munchin. Music comes on, people start to dance, but then you ate so much you nearly split your pants. A girl starts walking, guys start gawking, sits down next to you and starts talking. Says she wanna dance cause she likes the groove. So come on, fatso, and just bust the move.
See, that's when rap was rap, man.
Good stuff.
Talking about stuff like splitting your pants and sitting next to a girl.
Checking your libido.
That's right.
It's not that gangsta, if that's what you're talking about.
It's not about busting caps or slapping hoes or nothing. It's just good old fun.
That's a lot like the stuff you used to do in your hip-hop days, right?
Sure, absolutely, yeah. When I was white MC, they used to call me. Young
MC.
Son
should be arrested for the crime of sucking.
No.
How dare you? Lies. I love that song.
43 years old today is Young MC. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Hope you will join us tomorrow for an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We were down a man today, but we wish Kevin the best. If he's out there listening in his sick bed, come on back tomorrow.
He's listening.
Well, you never know. Uh-huh. I know. He doesn't listen to the show when he's here. Why would he listen if he's not here? We're trying to work it out, but we would like to world premiere for you tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean show the brand new song from Wing.
Yay! Oh, awesome.
This is the very latest in a long line of tremendous music from Wing. Our friend Rappy McRapperson apparently produced her new song, and apparently it's got a very powerful message, Ralph, about
teenagers stop spraying bullets on each other?
Essentially that. It's called Stop the Nonsense. So we should have that for you tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean
Show.
How
does it make you feel? How does the song make you feel when you listen to it?
It makes me happy. Also, Ralph is going to swing open the video vault because I understand you have something very special planned for us tomorrow.
We're going to take a look at what has been called by several sources, including IMDb and RottenTomatoes.com, the worst movie ever.
Oh. Wow.
It's a horror movie called Troll 2, and they've even made a documentary about how bad this film is. So it's time to take a look at the actual film Troll 2, and you will not believe what it contains. It is a remarkable piece of work.
It's incompetent on every level that it's possible to fail on, right?
Yes. And yet that all comes together and it congeals into a perfect little souffle.
Sweet. Also on tomorrow's show, how about the Psycho Body? Starting to get that time of year where people realize they just have a couple of weeks left for bikini bodies. And
ladies,
what do I do?
Get down to a size zero or I'll kill you.
Yeah. Got that for you tomorrow. And is Spencer Pratt now officially clinically insane? I know he's always said a lot of dumb things on the hills, but now he's getting to the point where I think he's actually lost. I think he may end up in an institution. He's gone so crazy now.
Awesome.
So that's good news for all of us, and that's all tomorrow right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Don't go anywhere, though. This is your official K-Rock Weenie Roast station because, frankly, it wouldn't make sense for it to be anywhere else, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's weird K-Rock. It was on Coast.
I agree, yeah. So Kat Corbett will keep you posted with everything you need to know to buy your tickets and details on that. It's going to be a very exciting week here to see the show. She's also got 40 minutes of nonstop K-Rock music, including Papa Roach, also the Smashing Pumpkins, Weezer, the new one from Temper Trap, Green Day, and more. Straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.